Like, what are you about to say? Are you about to say you can clone yourself?
I would never damn a child to my fate.
If you're interested in having offspring, there's a couple ways you can go about it. Steal a child.
You can go back in time. take a young version of yourself from an alternate dimension.
You can't do that.
Raise yourself.
You can't do that.
In multiverse.
Oh, wait.
They talk about that in the new Cosmos.
Yeah, haven't you seen Cosmos? The hot new program on Fox television?
But you can't... The same matter can't occupy the same space, so, like... In the multiverse theory, are you technically not in the same space then? You're just, like, overlapping multiverses?
This is, like, a time travel theory.
Multiverse?
There's a time travel theory that basically says that you can go back in time and you can fuck with time without it messing up your present because when you do it, it creates a different universe.
Sure.
But JCVD proved that if you go back in time and touch yourself, then you blow up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, it's like, you know, this it's like a basic algebraic principle of science of like the same thing can't be the same thing if it's different. So
if they touch each other, they'll blow up.
Yeah. So if I go and abduct my child self in time, I would blow up.
I hope you guys have both seen Time Cop, by the way.
We watched it together.
Okay, good.
At least a part of it together.
I watched Looper. That's like the same thing, right?
Looper is a good movie. Yeah. I enjoyed Looper.
Looper is a good movie.
Pretty good, yeah, lots of blunderbusts.
There definitely is some occupying of space and time, though, on that one.
Mm. Yeah. But, you know, with the dark matter thing, potentially there can be things that occupy the same space. So there's that.
There's dark matter. How does dark matter fix that?
Antimatter. I don't know. I don't know the physics.
Antimatter. Dark matter.
Neutrinos.
Blue matter.
Higgs boson.
I know about matter, antimatter, annihilation, and how sometimes there'll be spontaneously created matter antimatter pairs that then annihilate after creation.
What do you say? Is this like a new Japanese RPG plot premise?
That's a dating principle.
This actually explains how black holes emit radiation because throughout like space there is matter that generates from nowhere along with corresponding antimatter and then immediately annihilates. Like imagine two particles emerge, then spread apart, come back together and break, or they go away rather, they annihilate each other.
So much like a limit break. Go on.
Very much like a limit break.
Like a women's legs.
At the event horizon of a black hole, that's happening, but sometimes the antimatter part of it gets sucked into the black hole and the matter part gets away. And that's why black holes emit radiation.
Okay.
Makes perfect sense.
So when you say event horizon, do you mean the Lawrence Fishburne movie from 1997?
Star. Yeah.
What else could that refer to?
Do you see?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm referring to.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Totally. Mystery solved.
They should pay us for this.
Yeah, they should.
They meaning the Jews.
Who control everything.
Yep. That's right. If you go back in time and you use your time machine to bury dinosaur bones, does that make you a Jew?
You know what they didn't tell you? On top of every dinosaur's head, yarmulke.
if you put a yarmulke on top of a dinosaur skeleton's head, it will become a living dinosaur.
It reanimates. Okay.
Well, you have to recite the Torah backwards first. And then it will revive.
Which every Jew is born knowing how to do.
Yeah, they just don't tell anyone.
The Torah backwards is just the theme to Jurassic Park, but spoken, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You use a ram's horn and you use it to play the theme to Jurassic Park, and then you're basically a necromancer.
Well, do you sacrifice the blood of a child, or is that no longer required?
That's really
offensive, Jeff. That's really offensive.
It's only bat child. It's only bat boy that you can sacrifice the blood of. Not a real child, not a human.
I can't believe I should be so shameful to say that. I'm sorry, guys.
It's not, what is this? Is it the 1940s over here? God.
I was pretty 2000 and late.
Right?
There.
Go poison the well. Huh.
Oh, man, you think we live in a progressive society?
Nope. Yeah, what next? Duck Dynasty coming to the Iowa State Fair? Jeez.
That would never happen.
Never.
That blew over so fast. I'm surprised that anyone even remembers that they were once racist.
Did they, like, recant? Like, did the guy, like, try to take back what he was saying? I thought he was just entirely unapologetic.
I don't know.
Which, is, as you know, of course, is the way to, like, get around a scandal. Just don't apologize ever.
Yep.
I think it just – what happened was exactly what needed to happen, where nobody said anything and everybody went back to watching that show.
Yeah.
I think it just kind of also just expected. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they are also racist.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember when Charlie Sheen went crazy?
Yeah, he didn't apologize either. He lost his show, though.
But now he has the same show.
Does he have a new show?
Yeah, it's the same show. It's the same show, just without with Ashton Kutcher not there.
It's called, like, okay. 3.5 Humans or something.
Yeah. It's called, like, yeah, Dead F Dude. Effer.
Charlie Sheen says weird stuff.
Emmer Effer.
Yeah. That show was, like, the most despicable show on television, I will say.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys ever watched an episode of it, but it was essentially just Charlie Sheen romances extremely attractive women and then breaks up with them. Or just thinks they're idiots. That's the entire premise of the show.
Or
of 2.5 Men.
Yes. Romances a woman who's not 100% attractive and then just has to Three Stooges his way out of that situation.
Yeah,
while,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Benny Hill song is playing and he's, like, running around the house and there's, like, awkwardly raising a child.
You know, like, he's checking out her butt and then she turns around and her face isn't as attractive and it's then, like, it's, like, the worst thing that's ever happened. Or maybe they sleep together, you know, so then he's won. But then she has his number and she calls him.
Right. Or she has a kid and then he's like, ugh,
oh no,
better kill myself.
Yeah. And then he does a lot of cocaine.
Yeah. And then he accidentally stumbles into the shooting of Big Bang Theory, and that's essentially the same show.
Everyone loves that show. I have never seen a single episode.
Everyone also loves 2.5 Men. So,
womp womp.
That lady works at Cheesecake Factory in that show.
There you go.
I like me some Cheesecake Factory. I went to the Cheesecake Factory a couple weeks ago, and they told me the wait would be 90 minutes.
Oh, hey, that's awesome. I don't work there anymore, so ask me anything.
Is there anything you want to get off your chest?
How much poop do you put on the burgers? On a scale from zero to poop.
One Duck Dynasty sigh. One sigh from Duck Dynasty.
That's a lot of poop.
Yeah.
Seriously, how much, like, what percentage of the menu do you microwave?
Zero.
Oh,
yep.
That's nice.
Everything is scratch. Everything is cooked to order. And then everything is prepped in the prep kitchen every morning. So it's actually a pretty rad place to work if you value cuisine.
What is your favorite thing on the menu?
It was the Jamaican black pepper shrimp because I like spicy food.
It's so the spiciest. What is it now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there could be new things that I don't know about anymore.
Why
pretty quick over at Cheesecake Factory?
Why is that
twice
menu
a year? Twice a year.
The menu is 30 pages long, Griffin. Why?
Because
they have to fit all those ads in it.
That menu pays for itself by the advertisements. Actually, all the adverts in there pay for the printing of all the menus for every one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, and. It twice a year, the entire menu is looked at and rehauled. Lower selling things are cut out, newer things are added, and, like, a new theme is incorporated, showcasing certain, like, seasonal menu items or seasonal things, ingredients.
Is the cheesecake made fresh every day?
The cheesecake is. There are two factories in the world. One I think is in Tennessee, the other one I forget where it is, but they're all mass produced there and then they're shipped to the different restaurants.
Well, thanks for that. Now I'm going to sue them because that's dissembling. I thought I was actually at a legitimate Cheesecake Factory. Now I find out that I'm at a cheesecake, I don't know, emporium, redistributor. Mm-hmm. This is not.
May I ask a question? Do you employ children at your Cheesecake Factory and do you pay them below a living wage?
I can't. I know there are people who have worked there who are below the legal working age. And I also know
on the machines that pose the highest risk of removing their limbs.
Oh no, I don't know anything about those, but I'm talking about like in the restaurant. I know there were people who worked there who were under 18.
Do you lock the doors in case of fire so the peasants can't get out?
Yeah,
I'm exactly. Just making obscure references to factories from the 19th century. So
yeah, actually, yeah. All the menus are coated in lead and asbestos, so when they need to be cleaned every night, they're put into a small room with a 14-year-old boy who has to scrub them with his tongue. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hypothetically, if I were an NSA agent and I wanted to swoop into a Cheesecake Factory and just grab as many illegal brown people as I possibly could, what would be the best time of the day to do that? This is all hypothetical.
Hypothetically, the best time of the day to do that besides any time of the day would be find the biggest 4x4 vehicle in the parking lot that has the most amount of beer cans in or around it, and then just stake that out.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha, good.
Yep.
I'm not going to act on that information. I have no connection to the NSA. So.
Sure. I mean, it's all recording us anyway. I mean...
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh,
I've got
man.
That Nintendo 64 expansion pack that's recording everything right now.
The most powerful device ever manufactured. It's got an extra 4 megs of RAM.
What's the most needlessly mean thing a patron at Cheesecake Factory ever said to you?
Oh, boy. I never really had anybody who was ever angry at me. There's only like weird people, like insanely crazy people who... I just assume there was a language barrier that was causing issues. But nobody ever was, like, upset with me or said anything about that.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Define insanely crazy. Like, give me an example of something, like, so ridiculous.
Like people come in, they order a bunch of food, they're always on their Bluetooth headset, and they're just constantly yelling, saying insane things that don't make any sense, like... You know, like schizophrenic talk that he's like, it's either maybe the Bluetooth is there for real, or maybe they just have it there because they want to cover up their arguments they're having with themselves. So they order a bunch of food and then they get upset when it's not immediately delivered to the table because they actually cook it. And then they demand that everything is paid for by the company. And then when it takes more than 1 second for that to be like, For anybody to just say, okay, they walk out and run away. And you're like, oh, okay, $100 worth of things you purchased. Now I have to eat this.
I would be like,
we need to figure out where this goes.
Oh, like you send it to people who actually ordered it.
No, like, is it like, what can we do to get rid of these things from this check? Like under the table that aren't going to be accounted for? What sort of things am I going to have to pay for out of my pocket? What sort of things can does the restaurant have to like dispose of through comps and whatnot? Like it's ugly.
Wait. So you're telling me that someone orders food and they don't pay for it. Sometimes that comes down on the waiters.
Yes.
That's so awful.
Yep. Yeah.
That's why does it come down on you? Like what if you were to just tell your manager like, hey, this guy didn't pay for his food. Like what? Like what's up with that? Why can't you say that?
Well, I mean, they'd be like, okay, well, we got to figure out how to get rid of that, all that food. And, you know, if there's only...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, that hey, sucks. Do you want to eat this for dinner tonight and pay for it?
I think I read a blog that maybe your wife linked it about tipping and how waiters are obligated to give away some of their tips to the bus people.
Yeah, that's...
Is that right?
Yep. Pretty much every restaurant, yeah.
So if you don't get tipped, you just lose money?
Yes, yep. So if
that's the most insane thing in the world.
Yeah, or when people like do like the old people tipping where they're like, here's $2 on 50, you did a great job. Like that's not enough to break even because you have to tip out like 5% to the other staff members. Like,
holy moly.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't because then like if you're like, oh, what's a good tip? 20%, right? Well, you have to give five to eight of that to other people in the restaurant, so you're already down to 12%. So now you're walking away with less money, just by obligation. So I mean, it's tough.
Wow, Stressful.
Yeah. So basically, tips are the worst thing in the history of time. And
don't
everyone
ever
should just be
work
given...
in a restaurant is the takeaway, is the takeaway here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, but listen, if you leave people to do charity, it's far more effective than men just actually giving them a wage. Yeah.
Do watch Event Horizon, the 1997 blockbuster starring Lawrence Fishburne.
And, is
do watch that.
Who else
God,
is in
why
that
do I keep
movie?
Saying, it's James Bond, the less recent one. In between T-Dalt and
T-Dalt?
Daniel Craig.
Oh, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, what's his name?
Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, it's Pierce. Isn't he in that?
For what?
No, it's Jurassic Park guy.
I thought like Christian Bale was in there or something.
Yes, no. Jurassic Park guy, you are correct.
Yeah.
Sam Neill is his name.
Sam Neill.
He is in it.
God, I don't know why I confuse those guys all the time.
Paul W.S. Anderson?
Like he's like,
oh, that's... Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. There's that part in that movie when the dinosaur says, I am invincible, and then the pen blows up, and then he slashes the belly of the fat Russian guy and says, they're smarter than you think.
That was an amazing fake crossover. Oh my god.
The internet must make it.
Whatever. Yeah, Newman is the same as Valentine.
Yes.
Pretty similar.
Yeah. Never trust a Cossack. Never trust a Cossack.
I think you should quit your new job and just devote yourself to this idea.
Okay.
Devote yourself, baby. Because you're sitting on a gold mine.
Definitely, yeah. is it exposing the conspiracy that Pierce Brosnan is the same as Sam Neill? Or this supposed mashup of Jurassic Park and this other movie that I'm forgetting now.
The first
Bond film.
GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Not the first Bond film at all.
Yeah.
Dr. No?
Dr. Park.
Sometimes when I think about what Pierce Brosnan must be doing right now, because he's Pierce Brosnan, I just imagine him with like a really, really egregious spray on tan. Like lying somewhere, like literally covered by liquor bottles.
For some reason, I imagine him, and this is bizarre and twisted, I imagine him engaged in like the most depraved, horrifying sex acts known to man.
I was going for that same thing too, yeah.
I don't know exactly like what they are, but I just know they're depraved and horrifying.
You don't know about them because you're not rich enough.
They only do them in that country for rich people.
Sanborgia.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was in that show. 30
and 30 Rock?
Yeah, 30 Rock.
He just seems like the type. I don't know. I feel like he put his finger where it doesn't
belong. No, he got that out of his system like 40 years ago. He's done with that. And now he's moved on. And he... just is covered in Grey Goose bottles.
Yeah,
they're
sometimes
all...
old habits die hard.
after the man from Panama or the tailor from Panama, then it's just it's been all downhill.
Oh, and he's got a huge beard, and the beard has like a little bit of the spray tan on it. It's like not pretty.
I don't know. I'm still going with the horrifying, just like either like savagely beating someone or like or just like doing something really twisted.
Cannibalism.
No. He's not up to cannibalism, but he is up to savage beatings.
I think, Jeff, it's a combination of the two where his mind is still in that place where he's like, you know, I used to be James Bond, and he walks into the club and tries to, you know, hit on the SS dominatrix sex pile, and then instead he just is in a bathrobe with a golf club trying and then holding like an old coffee filter full of booze shards, I don't know, frozen meth chunks that he's eating.
I feel like based on your guys' description, I'm underestimating his age. I'm going to look him up right now and see a recent picture of the man.
Do you know Chuck Norris turned 74?
That's the exact age that Patrick Stewart is.
Are you serious?
Which, guess how old Pharrell is?
Like 45 or something? He's super old.
He's 40 or 41 or something.
Yeah, he's ageless, though.
41 going on 25.
Oh my god, I just looked at a picture of Pierce Brosnan, and he looks like the most interesting man in the world.
Pierce Brosnan? We're not talking about Pierce Brosnan.
No, we are. He has exactly the beard and mustache of the guy from the most interesting man in the world commercials, and it's amazing.
How old is he? He's got to be like late 50s, right?
Probably. Maybe even 60 at this point. Let's see. He's 60,
like
exactly.
Almost 70, right?
Who?
Timothy Dalton.
Oh, Timothy Dalton. Oh, maybe. T-Dalt. JB.
Sean, guess how old Sean Connery is?
90 million.
80.
He's 83 years old.
Jesus.
It's crazy.
Good show.
Daniel Craig is 46. This is a great show. When I re-listen to this in 5 years,
hey, listeners,
I'm going to be thinking, like, this is good information. Like, I'm going to be...
Well, know.
What celebrities are you interested in the ages of? How old is Hillary Swank?
They can check the celebrity logs, and they'll be like, oh, when Hillary Swank was 43, you know, that was 2014, you know, probably, you know, mid-March. So when the aliens are reviewing the footage, they'll know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in 5 years, there will be no celebrities, and the concept of a celebrity will be completely foreign to us. There will only be...
When we're living under the United...
There will only be Willebrities, and they will all be Will Smith.
Exactly.
Will Smith is a virus that will replicate and take over celebrities' bodies.
I will give either of you... I will literally give you $5,000 if you can tell me the name of the Bond who did one Bond movie, I believe...
George Lazenby.
Fuck.
And it's,
when I said $5,000, I meant...
He said doll hairs.
Yeah, doll hairs.
Oldest trick in the book.
I think it's
awesome,
Her Majesty's
Chris.
Secret Service. Isn't that...
You
is that
Jesus
movie?
Christ, you monster.
Locked and loaded.
I like Bond films.
I like Bond films. I have them all on DVD because I'm with the times.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I appreciate Bond films, and I like some of the older ones, but I feel like the more I watch his shtick, the more rapey it feels.
Oh, God, yeah. But that's why it's so good. Go watch Goldfinger. Or my personal favorite. Oh, shoot. It's been too long. Oh, gosh. The one where they're in Vegas.
Oh. The one?
Yeah, you know, that one. Not Moonraker.
Deferring to you guys.
I don't know.
Thunderball.
Nope. You know, that's the one that I haven't seen that is like the go-to favorite for most people who like the Sean Connery ones. Like, that is the one.
Yeah, I've never
included. Sorry, it's I think it's Diamonds Are Forever.
Diamonds Are Forever.
I thought that one was a Texan. Wasn't the villain a Texan in that one?
Yeah. It's like playing off the God, who's the eccentric dude who was a hypochondriac, collected his fingernails and crap. You, yeah. Well, it's a story.
20
of,
years.
Well,
my hero.
Yeah, it's ultra rapey. The villain is like this eccentric Vegas billionaire that turns out to be the villain that killed Bond's wife years and years ago, and it's so good.
Bond had a wife.
Yeah, yeah.
How much did he cheat on her?
He didn't, because she was killed immediately.
I find any exploration of Bond's backstory to be not terribly compelling.
Yeah.
But the new one was good. The new one was good, and it did that a little bit.
Yes, definitely.
I thought the new one was okay.
Skyfall was two movies, is what I think.
The opening theme was great.
Skyfall was two movies. The first movie was Skyfall, the Bond film, and the second movie was Skyfall Home Alone 4.
Oh my god, I've never thought of it that way.
I think
so true.
They booby trapped the house.
All I could think about was Home Alone.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I never thought about it that way. Oh man.
They literally put shotguns in the floorboard, shotgun shells in the floorboards. When people would step on them, it would shoot them in the ass. That is like straight up out of Home Alone 2.
Yeah, they put the little micro machines out too, right?
Yeah, they did. Yep, they electrified the doorknobs and put a waving shack in the window, so they would
think Marv's hair got lit on fire.
the
paint cans, classic.
The villain had a gold tooth.
I don't know if you guys have ever been hit in the face with a paint can that's suspended to a banister, but you go flying. We're talking 20, 30, 40 feet.
But yeah. then you rally right afterwards.
Yeah.
Really weird. Strange physical properties, those paint cans.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
Yeah, I've been electrified a couple times, and my favorite part is when my skeleton shows through.
Yeah. But then you're okay. You walk it off.
Yeah,
it's really totally. Tough to get a selfie right at that moment, but if you can.
I think Paris Hilton took the first skeleton selfie.
Yes. Oh, man. I'm going to watch those movies like tomorrow.
I love the Home Alone movies.
Home Alone 2 is terrifying.
Home Alone 2, is you guys like 1 or 2? It's very polarizing. What about you, Griff? Jeff.
I like 2, but I recognize that they are literally the same movie, except 2 is just better traps.
No, two is murder. 1 is traps.
I like 2 because it's like Christmas in the City.
Yeah, like, they are the same movie, though.
Yeah, they are.
Like, they both have a talk. Oh no, the first one does not have a talk boy.
No,
but they both have the guy, you know, get out at Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because right. That scene was so good, they just had to encore it.
Rob, what's
yeah? Name? Except with Rob Schneider instead of the other guy.
That's why the second one is better, like objectively speaking.
Rob Schneider is a bellhop and rescue at New York Hotel.
And the guy from Clue.
Yes. I've been trying to think of his name for like 4 minutes over here.
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
No, I
don't. Wait, who was the guy from Clue?
Transylvania.
He was from Rocky Horror Picture Show, too. Tim Curry.
Yep.
Tim Curry, there he is.
Yeah.
Such a good bad guy. Oh,
such
my
a
God.
Good
Maybe...
anything.
Yeah, true. Yeah. he's got a killer stash.
He's a killer. Dude, Tim Curry could run for any sort of public office and be 100% unqualified, and I'd vote.
I would vote for him.
But then, you know, there would be an attack ad where it would be revealed what he did to that kid. Like, we all know what he did to that kid.
Really? I think the attack ad would just be showing Rocky Horror Picture Show, and everybody who hasn't seen it is like, my God!
Oh, my God.
I'm ready to go ahead.
What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, I'm ready to make that video game segue whenever you guys were ready.
I was gonna make it, and then I had a great
cut you off.
Actual segue planned.
We have to make literal hipster video game segues. This is a segue.
You guys like video games? They're all right.
Yeah,
it's like the guy who works at Video Games New York, which is like the best video game store in the world. And when I ask him like what games he likes, he's like, "I really like reading more. Read more.
Really like watching Tim Curry films more."
I used to like video games, but I feel like 3D is just like there's just like nothing left.
Now I'm really into The Office, but the British Office, because you know it's better.
Shut your mouth. The British Office is way better.
It's way better than the American Office.
You shut your stupid mouth.
The original Office is difficult to watch.
The original Office, okay, yes, I agree, but it did not overstay its welcome.
You're right.
It was
You're to right.
the point, and then it was like, okay, we're done. We're going to
Neither
end on
did
a high
True
note.
Detective, BT Dubs. Both you guys got to watch that show because it is incredible and it's amazing.
I'm going to use your HBO Go.
It's Do on, it. H.
Got your password.
8 solid little episodes.
What?
And
oh,
then it's
I've heard talk of True Detective. What is it?
True Detective is
People
Ewan McGregor.
People compare the end to Lost.
Wait, Ewan McGregor's in it?
No, I'm joking.
It's Woody Harrelson and some girl with big boobs or something.
No, it's Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey and basically no girls.
No, there's a girl.
No, featuring cameos by HBO boobs.
Yeah, featuring cameos by boobs and no actual female characters, which is like my, which is the one thing you can like say against the show. But then again, the show's content kind of almost synergizes. I hate to say that with that, like it is
put
almost
a finger
like
up the butt.
But it is at least for the first like, until the last episode, like there are. Like kind of no female characters at all, and if they are, they're just so awful.
You're really hammering home this no females thing here.
Kind of reminds me of House of Cards, where all the female characters are just wretched and unlikable.
But it's incredible. It's an incredible show, and if you like you know, Christianity gone wrong, Deep South craziness, then nope. You'll like this show. You don't like that stuff?
No.
I'm into it.
Do it. So good. So good.
Video games.
I'm trying to think. God, what was that? What was the Rockstar game that was just like the worst tonight?
Manhunt.
I'm not remembering anything.
Manhunt is the only way I can get aroused.
No, like the... zip tie me. Zip tie me again and knee me in the face. Let me dress
I've actually
up.
never played Manhunt.
Oh, okay.
I've never known true sexual satisfaction.
Well, easily remedied.
I don't want to remedy it at all.
Jeff,
two souls.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of Remedy,
when I hear...
there's no news about Remedy games this week. There's news about other games.
Whoa!
Like what?
You guys, I played 20 minutes of Titanfall. I'm ready to review it. So,
all right. Tell me all about...
Go into it.
Okay, should I... Okay, I'll talk about my 20 minutes.
Tell me about your time with Titanfall. Don't review
it. Can I ask you a quick question? Was Titanfall Titan all that you expected it to be?
Did you Titan fall in love with the game?
If it were an actor, would you give it a Titan call back?
Yes.
Would you consider yourself a Titan baller?
Or did it suffer a Titan fall from grace?
Can one of you please do something with Pride Comes Before the Fall?
Pride Comes Before the Titan Pride Goeth Fall. Before the Titanfall.
It's really the thing that struck me first actually was like, wow, this doesn't look so great. Like I don't really care about that. And but you know, next gen game, like it's supposed to, you know, look cool. And I toss it on and I got everything maxed and I'm running smoothly, but it just like it really looks like a last gen game to me. I don't know if that's there are just some textures in the game where I'm like, wow, that's really gross. But who cares about that, right? I'm just saying that
it's
I was a little surprised. Probably
because it's built for the Xbox One, right?
I heard the climbing into the Titans is especially ugly, apparently.
Yeah, it's really, there are certain parts, especially that, where it's just like, wow, this is gross. But I don't care because it's fun. But
yeah, exactly.
But it was kind of shocking, especially because there's that whole situation with the audio thing, which apparently, Jeff, you were saying there's big NeoGAF thing on it, and there's been stories on it.
Yeah.
Basically, the audio is uncompressed, and there's 37 gigs of it if you have the PC version, because if they compressed it, they'd be worried about people not having enough processing power because it takes like a large amount to decompress. Blah, blah, blah.
Not if you have a sound card.
Not if you have a sound
card.
Whoa! But a benefit of that is that if you're like me and you've pumped an insane amount of money into your computer sound, then it sounds really good because it was never compressed. So like but actually that kind of matters a lot for games, because when audio is compressed, what are you losing? You're losing the top and the bottom of the sine wave. So you're losing like the sub bass, like the rumbling. And you're losing like the really high pitched noises, like certain guns and footsteps and stuff like that. So to not hear those things sound gross through a good audio system is actually really awesome. And I've never really experienced that in a game before. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. So if you have if you have nice headphones, a nice amp, and a nice sound card, like it's kind of a new thing. Like it just sounds really good. You can hear footsteps really clearly and locate them. Like if you're into that, if you're into being competitive and you need to hear where people are coming from, then that'll help. And when the Titans, you know, come down to Earth, there's a lot of rumbling and it sounds really cool. So there's that. But
Neil Young would love it.
Neil Young and his Neil Young's Pono is only going to play Titanfall. Kickstart the Titanfall audio player device. What I was really surprised about is just how fun it is. I really like it, and I haven't liked a shooter in a long time. I haven't liked a shooter since Unreal Tournament, like pre-2005. Like, I played Unreal Tournament 2K, and I loved that game.
Go ahead, sorry.
And I think that this game, I don't think that a lot of people would agree with me, but I think that this game feels like if I had to say this game is a combination of this game and this game, I would say that this game is a combination of Unreal Tournament, like 2K3, and Power Stone. Those are my two. Those are my two things, because you're jumping around. It's a little. I mean, it's obviously floaty because you have a jetpack. So that's what makes it feel. And it's a little bit twitchy, and that's what makes it feel like Unreal. And it's like Power Stone because the Titans, it's like, you know, you get your power up and then you go nuts. And it doesn't matter how bad you are, you're probably going to kill some people when you have your Titan. Just like in Power Stone, it doesn't matter how bad you are, when you get your power up, you're probably going to kill some people. So it's really easy to play. And like, you don't, this is the biggest difference for me from other shooters. You can play it, and you can come in last, and you still had a ton of fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was going to ask. Like, I suck at shooters. I just never good at them. I can't really navigate 3D space in first-person perspective that well or something. I don't know. Can I enjoy this game? Like,
yes.
Okay.
And the other thing that it does is, first of all, there are AI grunts running around. So you kill them, and that kind of is like a confidence boost, right? And it's just fun. So even though you're playing with other players, the map is populated by these idiot robots that are easy to kill, and you kill them and you feel good, and it gets you points, so you feel like you're involved even if you really suck. And then, like, worst case scenario, it, like, you just see someone running across the battlefield and you call a Titan on top of them, and that's always fun.
Like, you can crush them with it.
Yeah, if it lands, you can, like, you know, if it lands on them, they die, and also if you walk over them, they die. It seems really accessible, and the maps seem like they're so open. So it's not like I ever, like, come around a corner and get ambushed. I feel like they've designed at least the maps that I've played. I really haven't spent that much time with the game, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. It seems like everything is so
game's
open.
Game's terrible, totally broken.
Apparently it's broken over on Xbox. They were having sign-in issues. Well, on day one, people couldn't sign in and couldn't play.
Shocking.
Because you can't even play the tutorial without internet.
So, Jamie, maybe you want to back up for a second and kind of give... So, this game is online only. Only online for everything.
Yes, but I'm playing the campaign.
Which still is online only.
Still online, but it's so seamless you wouldn't notice. I just mute everyone. I don't want to hear what people are saying, so I just mute people. I don't need to hear what they're saying in the campaign because you are given... Like, the team is given prompts by actors, so you don't need to coordinate with people. You don't need to have a headset. You can just do what the story tells you to do, and everyone kind of does it together. And it's fun. And so it's online all the time. I'm very impressed with that on the PC. It just kind of works. I haven't had a hiccup yet. It's fun. And what's interesting is, so there's two sides, right? You're playing a story, but there are two sides, and sometimes you'll lose because the outcome of that round hasn't been determined, because it's two groups of people pitted against each other, and there's this kind of like very light story going on in the background.
Right.
And if you lose, it doesn't matter. You just continue on in the campaign, which I thought was pretty cool too. You don't have to replay that mission. They give you another out, they give you a story out, like, oh, we lost, but, you know, our backup ship is coming. Everyone get on the ship and we'll leave, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And in not giving me a story, they give you, like, the best story. It's kind of like what I hope that Destiny game does. It's like, they give you so little that you're kind of, but it's so purposefully given and, like, delivered at the right times throughout the matches that it's kind of like I'm making it up in my own head, and it's better than anything they would have given me.
From all the stories that I hear and all the reviews I've been reading about this game, it reminds me a lot of like the Left 4 Dead games when they first came out. When it's like the storytelling is you, like you know, you're not playing through the map and like, oh, and then the wave of zombies came, and then the big zombie came, and then we got to the safe house because that's what the story said. Like, it's like that's what you did, and then when one of your comrades went down and you brought them up and you scrabbled to the end and drug them into the room or something like that. Like, that's the story through the actions you were taking that were not guided by, like, the hook in the nose of the first-person shooter. Like, so I get that same vibe from this game where people are telling stories about, like, I did this awesome thing and my friend did this awesome thing and it was so cool to just be there and do this all together.
Yeah.
Do you have similar experiences? That, sort of.
Go ahead, Jamie,
and I'll jump in after you.
No, I think that's exactly right, Griff. And it's like it's helped because the implementation of that system is so good. It's better than Left 4 Dead. They somehow managed to in real time like deliver little story bits and highlight certain things that have happened in a way that it's kind of like a combination between a sports announcer who's like halfway decent, like a color commentator who's halfway decent, and also just like that guy and that voice of God and other first person shooters who just says like headshot. It's like it's like that guy but much better. What were you gonna say, Jeff?
I was gonna say I think the only issue though with that kind of emergent gameplay, like I got super bored of Left 4 Dead really fast.
As did I, but the problem the good thing about this game is I think that the mechanics of this game just make it so much more engaging.
Well, it's also maybe the human opponents would probably help.
Exactly, yeah. And the fact that you don't need a team to play it. Like, you can get on, yeah. You're already on in a team.
So imagine, you know how you play other, like, the last shooter that I probably enjoyed was the first one to come out on the Xbox 360, which was Call of Duty 3, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
So that one I was the last one I enjoyed. And when you're playing a game like that, you don't have fun when you're just moving around.
Mm-hmm.
In this game, you have a ton of fun just moving. Like, yeah. You just, like, you look at your mini-map and you see, oh, everyone's over there. And, like, I'm in a city, so I'll just, like, wall run like crazy. And even that is fun.
Yeah, Traverso looked pretty sweet, for sure.
And it's just really it's really fun just to get from point A to point B. And then, like, when you get to point B, it's almost like a bonus that the shooting feels really fun and light, too. It's not like a hardcore kind of, like, I have to aim down my sights and do it. It's kind of like I just shoot from the hip most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I'd say 50-50 I die or kill. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't care. Like, I'm just kind of having fun, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It sucks that it's not working right on the Xbox One. If you have a PC, I would highly recommend it. It's not very demanding. It's not a demanding game.
That kind of brings me to my next question, which is I guess I had two questions that came up. The first is, do you think that over time the game will become less accessible, like every shooter seems to? Like, do you think that over time only the elites will remain, or like multiplayer will become dominated by people who are just really good and really annoying? Or do you think there's enough shit in it, like, to unbalance it, like the blue shell? Like, I think you said in a text to us that the Titan is like a blue shell. Do you think that will counterbalance, like, people just being too super OP and stuff? Or
I think that the Titan is, I think that that will happen. I think that people will get really good, but I don't think it, for me personally, for someone like me who doesn't care if they come in first, second, third, fourth, I feel like it won't matter because okay. I don't care. Like there are people in the matches who I play who are really good, mm-hmm. and they, like, I see them doing crazy stuff and I'm like, oh, that guy's going to come in first, but I don't care. I'm having fun, like, jumping off walls and, like, shooting robots.
Gotcha.
Like, I think so. I think it'll be okay. And I also think that, it seems like there are, unlike other shooters, where it seems like there's a lot of upgrades and a lot of things to memorize, and you have to know the specifics. There's like a few core things that are going on in this game. You got your cloak when you're on the ground, and there are a couple things you can do in your Titan. Like, there are a couple dodge things you can do, and that you have your shield where you, like, basically, it's like that move from Bioshock Infinite you absorb bullets and then you shoot them back. Yeah. You've just got like a you've got a few moves,
got
and
your burn cards.
I feel like it's not it won't be that hard to get pretty good at those few things. So I don't know like how much better someone could be at those few things than you could become after just like, you know, a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Like
are there going to be double XP weekends?
I haven't even noticed the leveling. The leveling is very unobtrusive. So I don't know. Even but like I said, I'm going to have fun even if I just get killed every game. There's going to be that moment every game where the guy who's the best, I'm going to crush him with my Titan. So I don't care. That's going to be fun for me.
Awesome. My next question, Jamie, was Griffin and I kind of touched on this last week. Do you think, and this is pure conjecture, do you think that the presence of the PC version will hurt the Xbox version? And do you think the 360 version will kind of squeeze it on the other side? Or like, do you feel like PC is the platform you should be getting this on? Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, so if only because the, at least from my experience, the multiplayer is so seamless and so well implemented, like Need for Speed Rivals style, just like it's there, but you don't even, you don't need to pay attention to it, and yet it enhances the experience.
Mm. Plus, it's not $60 a year.
Oh my God, yeah, thank God for that. And it doesn't seem, it seems like you could run this on an older PC. I think, and by, you know, older, I mean a couple years. My PC is a couple years old. I pretty much haven't maxed out. I built my PC in 2011.
Yeah, but yours is not.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a great
it's not
PC.
Typical.
Not, but I feel like you could buy new, you know, $600 PC. You could run this game fine.
Okay.
Do I think it's going to hurt? You mean like, do I think it's going to hurt Xbox One sales?
Well, here's what I wonder about. Griffin and I were kind of touching on this last week. He was saying like he thought the 360 version would hurt Titanfall's ability to like to move units, basically to move Xbox Ones, because like all the bros can pick it up for 360. And I was thinking, well, maybe on the kind of enthusiast side, they might be hurt by the fact that you know, PC is kind of I don't know how big it is, but it's growing as a platform. And maybe the definitive version is the PC version in this case. And, you know, they're certainly not really advertising it. But I'm wondering, like, I don't know, like do you think that
I guess when you're on that voice chat rocking that Titan radio, do you hear people like, yo man, F those one those boneheads, it's PC all the way. And like, do you hear that? Like, is there talk on the radio of like people? You said you turned all the chat off, but like, you know, in that I've that sort of a realm, like, do you think that that PC is going to be the way to play it, opposed to being everybody's going out to get their Xbox One with Titanfall, or people are saying, I'm going to wait and I'm going to get it on the 360 because I already own a 360.
Yeah, basically what I'm alluding to is this the thing that's going to start, that's going to jumpstart Xbox sales, do you think? Do you think this is the one or no? Forgetting about all those other things, you know?
Well, I actually want to, because that reminds, like, so I don't turn the chat all the way off. I turn it really low. And I do hear what people are saying. And I mean, if you're an adult, another reason to get it on PC is just because no one that I've heard talking has been a jerk.
It's joint
or an
service.
Idiot. What?
It's joint service.
Oh, it's joint service. Oh, well, that's impressive.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Cross-platform?
Same service. Most, yep.
Awesome.
Like, probably the most common thing I hear is like, it's my first game. How is it, guys? Mm. And then everyone's like, oh, it's really good. that's probably the most common thing I hear. I haven't heard a curse word yet, which is which is amazing. But I think that that's because I don't know. Maybe it's new. People are like actually like, whoa, this
three.
Is crazy.
Tomorrow is when all the racial slurs start.
no one said anything about the difference between PC and whatever. I'll keep you next week. I'll keep an ear out and I'll see what people say. I think that this is my personal, completely non-expert opinion. I would guess that this will sell Xbox Ones.
Okay.
But I would also guess that you're right. If you already have a 360 or you have a PC, then why the hell would you bother.
Well, you have to wait. I mean, I figure people are 2 weeks is too much for many people.
So for me personally, I can only speak to my own experience, right? For me personally, I've been waiting for a game like this for a long time because I really loved Unreal. And I haven't had a true Unreal. Like, they've been turning out really shitty Unreal games every time. They made one for the PS3, but it wasn't good. And I've been waiting for this
game,
right?
Almost 10 years, yeah.
I've been waiting for this game. So if I went to a friend's house and I didn't have a PC and I played this game, I don't have an Xbox 360 either, I would seriously consider getting a one if I had the means.
Gotcha.
But because I've been waiting for this game, I don't know if there's a lot of people out there like me who have been waiting for a game like this, but maybe they are losing some business. To the
Jamie,
PC.
Put on your analyst hat and tell me exactly how many units this is going to move. Go. Go.
Point
Michael,
three.
Michael packed her up on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would highly recommend if you look at it and you don't say to yourself, oh man, that looks fun, then wait for it to be on sale. But if you watch videos and you're like, hey, that I like wall running and that shooting doesn't look too like hard, then get it. I don't think that you will be disappointed, and it's really surprising. I didn't expect to like it as much as I do.
It's not like the second coming, though. Like, this is not redefining video games. Like, this is just the newest, bestest, coolest shooter. Like,
yeah,
from all accounts, it sounds like it's something that is not upending the tea table in terms of video game design. It's just like, it's the next coolest, most fun arcade shooter game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was ever intended to upend the tea table, though.
Well, I think the hype has caused that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Have you seen Titanfall? Yeah.
So for everything I'm saying, I haven't like compared it to Call of Duty or anything, but I would bet that it kind of feels like Call of Duty.
Okay.
You know? So like, I haven't played a Call of Duty game recently. I don't know, but I would guess that it's if you like those games, you're gonna like this game. But
gotcha.
The cool part is, if you don't like those games, maybe you still will like this game.
Okay.
Well, I think Jamie, if it's you don't like Call of Duty because you don't like fast paced action shooters and you that's not for you, I don't think this game is gonna turn things around. Like, if you're looking for a different kind of shooter, this isn't going to be the thing that changes it, and you're like, well, now, here we go. I'm ready to be a shooter fan. Like, if you've never enjoyed arcade action shooters, this may not. Mm-hmm. This will continue to not be the thing for you.
Mm-hmm. This game doesn't do that thing where you walk out into the middle of the battlefield and you just die. That rarely happens. So if you hate that, then you and that's been what's
I
preventing
do hate
you
that.
From
yeah.
from playing shooters generally, and that's been the case for me. Then this might be your ticket into that world, because that rarely happens.
Sure.
I feel like the level design is just so solid, and the and just the way the game is, like, that's not really going to happen.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So
also,
it's
for any PlayStation 4 owners who enjoy that sort of a feeling, go play Blacklight Tango Down, because that's free, and you can walk around and shoot people and do really well in that game for free on PS4.
Right, then. Yeah, I don't have 50 gigs on my solid state drive, so I probably won't be getting it anytime soon. I only have 10 right now. 10.4. I just checked.
I made a bunch of space. Got rid of my BioShock Infinite, which
all
was taking
the, all
up
the porns.
The BioShock Infinite was taking up like a lot, like 30 or 40.
This is quite
I don't
the
think
Titan
it's installed
Sprawl.
Right now. Yeah, what? I don't even have it installed right now. Did you just say Titan Sprawl, Griffin?
Yep. Yeah.
Nice.
Does that mean that we're done? So yeah, it's a game. It's a game that you shoot people. So
nice. Is it all the things that we said in our exchange?
It's all the things that we've said. And the other thing I'll say is that at first I was like, this story's okay. Like, no one, you know, it's fine. No one's. It's not like completely rote. And then at the end of the most recent mission, I completed. There was like an exchange where it was essentially like one guy across the radio was like, "You're a bastard," and then the other guy was like, "No, you're the bastard."
I feel like I had that experience with Killzone Mercenary. The story started out, and I was like, "Hey, actually, this looks a little more nuanced than your average shooter," and then it just wasn't.
No.
One of the loading screens in Titanfall.
They never are.
One of the loading screens says, "Everyone here is either running for the past or chasing the future."
Oh, are there any quotes from Dick Cheney in this one?
Drill, baby, drill.
Did you know that Modern Warfare 2 had quotes from Dick Cheney?
No. Oh, God.
Great game.
It was a pretty good game, actually. It was a really good game.
Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. I played some COD 4. It was okay. I don't really like shooters, so.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm not qualified to talk about it. Anyway.
Just picked up the Splinter Cell game? No.
Yeah, really.
That was someone whom I respect reasonably well. That was one of their favorite games of the year last year, oddly enough.
Woof.
Rainbow Six?
No,
Charlie Down.
Marcel Blacklist. Charlie Down?
Charlie Down.
Is this where you just abuse Vietnamese people? In the year 2020, you just go back to Vietnam to exact your revenge. My grandpappy fought you. Speaking of actually killing Vietnamese people, did you guys watch any footage of that Rambo game?
No.
No. No.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was a joke. I didn't know it was real.
No, it's legit. There is a Rambo light gun game where you just kill so many Vietnamese people, and it is like full of racial stereotypes. It's one of the worst games I've ever seen. People
were
playing
it. I wonder if it was just like a secret port of the Rambo game we played in Japan that was a light gun game.
We played a Rambo game in
Japan? Did, yeah. It was in the corner. It was really tiny. Had like a bunch of nets and crap on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I do not remember this.
I just remember the punching game. Do you guys remember that one? Were you to punch really hard?
No. What was I doing?
I don't remember that.
There was like punch. You had to punch and you knock some. I forget. I think you knocked someone out or something.
All I remember is
the Gundam. Was it punch out?
No.
I remember the Gundam pods, and I remember a lot of Bullet Hell games.
Do you remember? Do you remember the 16 square game where I played Scatman?
Yes. I do.
They love
Do you remember
Scatman
the Half-Life 2 first-person shooter when
oh
you sat
God.
In the chair?
Yes! That was so weird.
It was like Gordon Freeman on pedals.
Gordon Freeman just in a Gundam.
Yeah.
Crowbar Attacko.
Crowbar Unicycle Hero.
Oh my gosh.
They had a lot of time crisis.
I think you played some games too here.
Yeah, I have quite a list and I'll touch on them.
Do you
want to
talk about Risk of Rain a bit with Jamie?
First, I want to talk about the other T-Fall game on my list.
Oh, okay.
Just to compare and contrast.
All right.
I played Towerfall Ascension today with Jessica, which was a hilarious experience because we played for about maybe 10 minutes and Jessica was like, no. But it seems like a super cool game, and I wish either of you guys were here so we could do some local multiplayer. As you guys may know, it's a port, it's an enhanced port of an Ouya game. And for some odd reason, it's in 4:3 resolution. They put the little black bars on the side, or like, not black bars, but like the screen closes down to a 4:3. I don't know if that's because of the Ouya pad Ouya problems or something. I have no idea. But
Ouya problems.
Yeah, basically it's a multiplayer archery game, and it's super simple. You know, there's like three buttons. There's jump, shoot, dodge, and the hook is it's one hit kill, but you only have three arrows. And once you shoot an arrow, you have to go and retrieve it after you've shot it, or else you can't. Like if you run out of arrows, like that's it. You have to go and get them back from the environment, or the enemy can steal them from you.
I'll play this with you. This sounds awesome.
Come to Maine.
Is it on PC? Where are you at?
It's on PC, but it's local multiplayer only. No online.
It says coming to PS4. Is it on PS4?
I bought it on PS4. No online, though. Which is very sad. I don't know why they did that. But I guess the feeling is like it's like a purist game where like, you know, you have to have 60 frames a second or whatever. I don't know. But
Someone will mod it. Someone will fix that.
I hope so. The minute-to-minute gameplay is super fun, though. Like, I feel like I'm just starting to scratch the surface, but it's one of those games where, like I said, the number of tools are very small. Like, all you can do is shoot arrows. You can jump on people to kill them as well. But, like, just... I can tell it's one of those games where, like, the positioning is so important.
Okay. And you guys, just, I have to pee really bad. I'm going to run and do that, and I'll be back in 30
seconds. Yeah, go
seconds.
Ahead. I'll talk to Griffin about it. Griffin. Is Griffin not here either? I'm all by myself. He left! That punk. Anyway. Hey. Hey. Griffin, are you back?
Yeah.
Jamie left me, and you had left without saying anything. So
I said be right back.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess nobody gives a shit about Towerfall Ascension. all the hipsters on the Twitter, all the game hipsters love it.
I already played it on the Ouya.
You already played it on Ouya?
Yeah.
Do you have an Ouya?
No, I'm not a freaking idiot.
I was going to say, my respect level would have just... gone down a notch, unless you were doing it for pure reporting purposes.
I have to know. The world has to know.
Just play that hilarious frog game that I told you about the last
time.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Or the parking car game, right?
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, Towerfall, I don't know what you heard, but basically, crazy local multiplayer, 2 to 4 players. There is a single player mode, but nobody gives a shit about that. It's all just like, it's like everyone has the same set of tools. It's just you have 3 arrows and a jump. And it's just like, you know, total like mind games and positioning and like outthinking your opponent. And I can tell that the skill, you know, the depth of skill you can get to or the skill level you can reach is just like there's like no ceiling. I can tell it's one of those things where, you know, it's just it's like they give you a very small tool set and they want to explore the complete breadth of that tool set. Kind of not unlike Dive Kick.
I was just saying this. I was thinking the same thing. And then I was also when I view it, it reminds me of like the Spelunky multiplayer. Like you have a limited amount of tools. You have everybody's in the same skill, like everybody's in the same action level. Like you all do the same things. And it's just how are you going to play your pawns to set the person up for death best?
Yeah, although in Spelunky multiplayer, it's more just like clusterfuck, right. Like bombs and shit are falling all the time. In this, it's very much, it's a very pure strategy. Like there are hazards in that if you run out of time, the level starts to close in, but that's just pressure. So like the game will eventually apply pressure for somebody to fuck up or finish the level. And it's pressure that you can anticipate because it's always exactly the same pressure.
Gotcha.
But it's super cool, and I really would love to play with you guys. I like I said, I gave it a shot with Jessica. She wasn't so into it. We might be able to get into it again later. But I really want to explore the multiplayer. I just wish there was online, but I guess, like I said before, I guess they just didn't want to compromise the experience. You know, we're talking about, I can tell that the people who made this are like the type of purist who would turn up their nose at online play. Either they particularly value couch co-op because they think that there is something inherently better about sitting next to the person you're playing with, or they, you know, they want frame perfect action. It's one of those two things, and you know, you can make arguments for both. I do wish they had included the option. I mean, maybe it was just a matter of development money. I don't know.
This game is kind of in like the Nidhogg samurai gun camp, right? Where it's like local action, classic gameplay, sort of like simplified graphics, retro throwback.
Yes, although I do think Nidhogg is online multiplayer, which is particularly apropos because I actually own that game and one of you should buy it so I can play Yuga in it.
Okay.
Because it looks awesome.
That is on my to-do list since it came out this year.
Awesome. Yes.
What's awesome?
Well, we're talking about other games that are in like a similar vein to Towerfall. We mentioned Dive Kick, you know, kind of simple set of tools, a lot of depth.
Spaceballs.
But also, what was that?
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. Yeah. But we also mentioned Nidhogg, and what was the other one we talked about, Griffin?
Samurai Gun.
Samurai Gun, that's right. Yeah, Samurai Gun, which are kind of like local multiplayer games. Same basic idea, a lot of depth.
It's like Red Steel if it didn't suck.
Yeah. Samurai Gun, the premise in that one is you have swords, one hit kill, just like Towerfall, except you all have one bullet. And
so it's just like Call of Duty.
Yeah. And no Russian. Yeah. As I understand.
Right.
Can't
yeah.
speak Russian.
Can't speak. Yeah. You go to the airport, it's politically charged.
Yeah. But what I was saying is Nidhogg is on Steam and it is multiplayer and it is online multiplayer, I believe. And I own it and one of you should buy it so we can play it. And it is a fencing simulator and it looks awesome.
Bushido and, Blade?
No, Nidhogg.
Bushido Blade.
Yes, Bushido Blade. Okay. And when you win, you get eaten by a giant monster.
By a giant dick monster.
Yeah.
That's
just why one of you has to play with me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yes.
Cool.
Anyway, though, that's Towerfall. I think we've done that justice. I can go through the rest of my games now. So I've been playing a lot of Risk of Rain, which I touched upon last week. Griffin, I've unlocked a lot of characters. I've beaten the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long does it take?
It takes about 40 minutes to do.
How long
run.
Does it take a normal human?
Yeah.
Well, it's a roguelike. It's a roguelike action shooter.
His question stands.
I'm going to explain the gameplay and we'll talk about how long it takes. It's a roguelike, two-dimensional shooting game, well, action game, you know, where enemies, you spawn in an area. Your goal is to find the teleporter. The longer you take to find the teleporter, the more difficult and more enemies spawn. And when you do find the teleporter, you have to fight a boss and wait a set amount of time before you can leave the level. And the central mechanic in the game is time. So the longer you play the game, the higher the difficulty scales. So it's to your benefit to clear levels as fast as possible. So in theory, you could beat the game fairly quickly, let's say in you know, maybe 20, 25 minutes, if you're lucky, you know, if you spawn in good places, if the teleport is nearby. But to actually like get to the point of beating the game took me many hours. And I'm going to tell you just how many hours by looking at my time played. I've played 19 hours total. It probably took me about 15 hours of play to beat the game for the first time.
Thanks. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Maybe a little less. Maybe like 12 or 13.
Oh, my God.
You people shut your mouth. It's only like it took me like, let's say, 20 tries to beat the game.
That's probably good for a roguelike.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a hard-as-nails game. But once, unfortunately, you don't, first of all, I didn't realize, but there was a lower difficulty setting, which I selected, which was a lot easier. But second of all, not all the character unlocks require you to beat the game. Some
See,
of
that's what terrifies me. When, Jeff, you need to drop the difficulty down, that's when it's like, oh, unapproachable by me.
Well, I've beaten it on normal difficulty now. And you guys should play it because it's coming to Vita.
Well, then I'll play it on Vita.
Yeah. It's going to be great on Vita. Vita is like the perfect platform for that game.
Okay. Cool.
Also, it supports online co-op, which is super cool. And I would really love to play with someone. I have no idea if the Vita version will support that. I hope it will. But yeah, the online co-op looks super cool.
I feel I like this, game easier. This segment has been Jeff just being like, I really wish
I'm
that
so
someone
lonely.
Would come to my house
so lonely.
And play video games with me, please.
No, this one doesn't require you to come to my house, though. All you have to do is buy the game, and you can play online with me. But yes, this segment is basically Jeff plays games that he hopes you'll play with him. Please. Although the rest of my games, you guys don't have to play with me, but I'll touch on the rest of them now. But you guys should at least watch a video of Risk of Rain in action, because it is a great game with great music, really attractive visuals, and pretty fun gameplay, even if it is super hard.
I will do that.
Yes.
I can give you watching a video of Risk of Rain. Deal.
Yes. Yes. Just a small victory. I won't cry myself to sleep tonight.
Well, you've already got me ignoring all the reviews for Danganronpa. So anytime I see a review, I'm just like, you're wrong. Even though you say things that make sense to me and I'm going to disagree with them because Jeff says it's good.
Wait, well, don't just... Okay, but Danganronpa got good reviews.
But there's a lot of reviews that are out there that are saying it's not as good as VLR. So
well, okay,
that's
I have
like,
not,
oh man,
I have not played VLR, so you better listen to those reviews. Remember, I've only played 999.
Yeah, but you made a really strong case for it. You said there's like some sideways nonsense happening. So that
Wait,
sounds.
What
good.
Is what is Danganronpa and VLR? What are we talking about?
These are
Toonsoft.
Yes, these are two series of games made by Spike Chunsoft, which is a Japanese developer. they are heavily based on we'll call them visual novel likes. they're roguelikes, but they're visual novel likes instead. They are games that are heavily narrative driven, lots of text, but they have interesting other elements, and they tend to both focus on kind of like macabre subject matter. They both involve murder, kids killing each other.
VLR does not do that.
999 does that.
That is not the premise of VLR. VLR is there. People die, but it is not like the typical high schoolers go kill each other. That is not what VLR is about.
That's true. Okay, I guess it's all ages, and it was all ages in both of them. I'm thinking of 999.
But it's still not like everybody's killing each other in there.
But they don't Okay. Well, okay, fine. Yeah, well, people die, and sometimes they die by the hand of an unseen force, and sometimes they die by the hand of each other, right? Is that a fair assertion?
Sure. Yeah, to keep the mystery. Yes.
Okay, fine. Without getting into too much detail, they're both games that involve people dying who are otherwise innocent, and weird, crazy-ass mysteries, and shadowy figures behind the scenes. And they are really well written and fun games, and you should try them all.
So what system are we talking about here?
Danganronpa and VLR are both on Vita. 999, which is the game that started off the Virtue's Last Reward series, which is just 999 and Virtue's Last Reward, that's on the DS.
And iOS.
That came out, right?
Yep. And VLR is also on the DS as well. Yep.
The 3DS, yeah. Yeah, and on iOS, 999 is better because you can skip all the puzzles because you can't skip them in the other one, and it's bad.
How much are these games?
VLR is cheap as free. Actually, it isn't anymore, is it?
It was free on PlayStation Plus, yeah. But you might have missed it. Danganronpa is full $40, but I loved it. I thought it was a great game. Danganronpa, I can touch on that a little more.
How do you even spell it?
Danganronpa.
Yeah. you said it well, Griffin. No, Dan.
Gan.
Gan. Ron.
Ron Pa.
Pa.
Gotcha. Why do they name the game that?
I don't even know if it means anything. But there's like a little robot voice that goes, Danganronpa.
So odd.
Danganronpa I would describe as a fusion of like Virtue's Last Reward, which you don't really know about. Phoenix Wright.
Cool.
Some of the elements of Persona, like some of the kind of dating sim elements, although I don't know if that's really a fair comparison. But like certainly some light dating sim elements. Nothing particularly onerous or ridiculous, though.
Well, I'm out.
It's just a good game. Just watch a trailer. It has a little white bear, a little white and black bear, who's like comedic, but also he makes people die. And it's like a super good juxtaposition of light and dark in like a kind of fun little way. Or not light and dark, but like lightheartedness and really grim subject matter. And that's probably one of the best points in the game. How like it transitions so well from like this goofy little bear and like these kind of like funny little moments to like just like horrible things happening. It does a really good job of balancing all the stuff that's happening in it. I would say that some of the gameplay systems are not my absolute favorite, but the game itself was really fun and it has stuck with me. So
would you say that the gameplay is like, are you doing things that you would do in Phoenix Wright?
Yeah, you're doing, it's like the investigation mode. Oh, you didn't play the investigation mode because you just played the demo. There are trials, which are freaking weird for lack of a better descriptor. But they are fundamentally like Phoenix Wright. They have weird elements like truth bullets and mini games where you have to like fill in letters and rhythm game sections where you have to refute statements in time with music. But the core element is finding contradictions in statements, which is Phoenix Wright.
Jeff.
Yes?
I'm going to make a deal with you.
Yes.
I will play and finish this game this year if you play and finish VLR this year. If you promise.
Griffin, let me tell you something. I started VLR. I didn't put it on this list. Uh-huh. I started it, and I was instantly grabbed. I was instantly grabbed by it.
All right.
And plus, I love 999. The only reason
I didn't finish it. 999.
No. I was loving it. The only reason I didn't finish it is because they made me redo the puzzles, and I didn't want to look up the answers again on GameFAQs because I didn't want to have to solve the same freaking puzzles again. So that's the only reason I haven't finished that yet.
Okay. Well.
But no, I love 999. It's entirely in Spike Chunsoft's camp. So yeah, I will definitely play VLR Griffin.
Okay, good. Because then I feel like we will have something interesting to talk about with us in the same camps.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I won't bemoan that too much longer. I can tell you guys more about it later on if you want. I have touched on it before. Jamie, you should check him out. At least like watch some videos, like maybe read a review. It's a cool game. You'll have a good time with it, honestly.
Well, I might try the cheaper one first. I might try VLR first.
Yeah, try that out. It's supposed to be super good. So definitely try it out.
You should play VLR. It's one of the best games on the Vita or ever.
It has awesome art.
Yes.
So, I mean, at least the character design, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah.
From the pictures I'm seeing.
Definitely. And that company knows how to tell a cool story.
If you they like Lost...
They know how to do some mind fucks.
You like VLR.
Okay. So, yes. Where was I?
Tear away!
Risk of Rain. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to mention I'm playing Dark Souls. I don't think anything needs to be said about that except that, you know, I never finished it. So
wait, which Dark Souls?
The first one. You shut your mouth.
the old one?
Yeah, the old one. I never finished it, so it's new to me.
Why would you do old things?
That sounds boring and lame.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill both of you.
That's past your bedtime, Grandpa. Stop doing old stuff.
So for the listener out there, I'm going to clarify this to them, to that guy who's listening.
It's just my wife. She's the only one that listens.
Yeah. So, Jen, they're teasing me because I told them both that I wanted to buy Dark Souls 2 on the PlayStation 3. I'm gonna wait for the PC version.
Okay.
Yes?
Okay. I was gonna say I wanna pick your brains on Dark Souls when we get to me talking about Dark Souls 2.
Most definitely. So we don't need to talk about that anymore. I'm gonna move on. Just say I'm working on finishing up Tearaway. That's a fun game. I don't think it should be a $40 game, but it's a fun game.
Why? I disagree.
I don't know.
Do you not feel like there's enough meat there?
No, I mean, there's meat. I think it's whimsical and charming, but...
Do you think that platformers with an art style have run their course?
No, I don't think that's what it is. I will say this. I think I would enjoy it more if I enjoyed creating things more.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not a very creative person, so I think a lot of the areas where the game asks you to make shit, I don't like those as much.
Yeah.
I do enjoy exploring every environment. I've been 100%ing every single level. I really enjoy just exploring the environments, finding all the little secrets, you know, getting all the little presents and doing little funky side quests and stuff. I think that the pace of the game is a little... I'm going to say that because, like, you can't fail. It's just everything about it feels a little too watered down, maybe. To the point where, like, it's whimsical, it's fun, but there's no real tension. It feels like a stroll in the park, which I think was the goal. But for me, I'm not sure that... I don't know. I guess I don't regret having spent $40 on it, but I would maybe recommend it at, like, maybe even $30, just, like, a little bit less. And I know it wasn't a super expensive game to make. I know, like, a team of 15 people made it. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think it feels like a high... Like, somewhere between... Indie and it feels like a somewhere between indie and, like, you know, full-fledged big budget development. I feel like if it were priced at that level, it would probably move a lot more. But what was your impression of it, Jamie?
I don't disagree with anything you said, really. I do think it's kind of rough around the edges in certain spots.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't have that AAA feel, but I do like the creative aspects of the game, so and I also did feel a little tension.
Okay.
Although I do think that you're right, they're going for a stroll in the park. But like when there are certain times in the game, for example, if they're like there's one level in the game where you're climbing up a mountain, and
yeah,
the game kind of zooms out to show you the mountain, Yeah. And then zooms back in. And when that happened, I was like, oh, man, this mountain's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But it wasn't at all. but there was that moment, you know, where you're kind of like, oh, man, I'm going to conquer this mountain. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like it's worth $40 to me. But you're right. I think it's due to the fact that it doesn't feel as polished as it maybe could have. Mm-hmm. Maybe $30 is the price for that game.
Which is, I think it's, if you are a Vita owner, I think you should have it. I think it's a nice, I think it's like a nice little story. I mean, it's not like anything special or really, really incredible, but it's, you know, it's got a nice aesthetic. It's a nice feel. It's nice to curl up at night and play it for a little while.
While you cry because you have no friends to play.
to play Towerfall. Oh, if only
Tearaway won't play Nidhogg with me. Oh.
To jump to my last game before I steal too much time, I do have friends to play Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze with.
Who are these
people? I'm playing
it
with Jessica.
Are they the Kong friends?
Yes. So
is it Cranky
friends.
And...
Dixie and Diddy?
Beefy?
Funky Kong with his amazing cut-off jean shorts?
Butch Kong.
Yeah. Is there a Donkey Kong rap? Is there a DK?
I wish.
Donkey Kong is here.
When you load the game, there's like a bunch of people like who's saying like in like a kind of like, it sounds like they're like in the savannah or something. They're like, Donkey Kong. But that's all the voicing. So Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. This is a game that I was very hesitant to buy because I kind of got sick of Donkey Kong Country Returns. I didn't really think it captured the feel of any of the old games. I know you don't really agree, Jamie. But it just didn't feel like a Donkey Kong game to me. It felt like a platformer, like a challenging platformer with some elements. It didn't feel special enough to me, I guess. Tropical Freeze has a very different feel. I really like Tropical Freeze. I think it is a great game already. I think the levels have a lot more soul than, even though I admire certain elements of the levels in Donkey Kong Country Returns. But this one, the levels just feel so much more vibrant. There's a lot more going on. The design is more varied. It's more interesting. It just feels like a better product. The only thing that really sucks, though, is playing it with the gamepad because the control screen for the gamepad is terrible. Hmm. And it makes me really annoyed that they couldn't have just done something competent. What they do is they force you to map the X and the Y to the same button and the B and the A to the same button. And you have to either run or to use your like shake move. No matter what you do, you have to pull triggers all the time. And I don't like pulling triggers in a platformer.
Could this be alleviated by using a different controller?
Yeah, they give you a whole bunch of options. I think it could be alleviated by using a Wiimote, but I don't really like shaking to roll. It irritates me.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to find a good control scheme, although there are a lot of control schemes, but they all seem to be like fundamentally flawed. And I just wish they would have just copied Donkey Kong Country's control scheme just wholesale, just transplanted it in, because that was never problematic. And they could have done it, but they didn't, and that makes me really mad, because the game itself is awesome. It's so much better than Donkey Kong Country Returns, in my opinion. And I did not really love the first one. I liked it, but I didn't love it. But this one is really grabbing me in a way that the first one did not at all. I think you would love it, Jamie.
I'm so intrigued. Can you talk just like a little bit more about what you think is different about the levels and stuff?
Jamie, do you still own a Wii U?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think is different. I would say there's just more variety. Like, there's just more shit going on. They explore all kinds of interesting themes. Like, there's one level where there are just zip lines, like zip line style vines for the entire level. And it's just like really high octane and just like lots of crazy shit going on with the zip lines and just more interesting obstacles. The minecart levels that I've played have all been way cooler. Like just like,
oh, that's
so much more fun. Tighter control too. Like I always thought the minecarts were a little zonky, but they fixed those up. They feel a lot more fun.
What about controlling just the characters? Because I remember you didn't like that in the first one. You thought it was a little loose, maybe, or something?
I think it's been tightened a little bit, actually. I do. Although I've had problems with, like, running for some reason. I keep dying just trying to make basic platform, like, just trying to jump small distances because my character can't seem to accelerate very well, which is odd. But it seems better.
Is that a choice with the character you're playing as, or is that?
Well, here's the thing: player one can, if you're playing a single player or two player game, player one can only control DK. You can't control anyone else, which
is
a weird.
He's the first member of the DK crew.
Yes, he's finally back to kick some tail.
Does it look nice on the Wii U?
It's gorgeous. I think that's part of it for sure. Also, there's swimming sections. There's water. The water feels great. There's just like so much more going on, like interesting shit happening, like weird things with planes and all kinds of cool things. And like, I just played a level where I was in a sawmill and there's just buzzsaws everywhere and cricket stuff happening. The enemies have a lot more personality than the enemies in the first game. Even though they're like owls and penguin Vikings, it feels a little Pixar at first, but they're way cooler than the enemies in the first game. Just play it and you'll understand.
Cool. No, I'm down.
Yeah, it's definitely a better game.
$50?
Yes, $50.
Okay.
I think you'll have a great time. Cool. Also, there's like secret exits. There are now hidden pathways out of levels. The levels, there's just like, and not every, like, they still have those crappy bonus levels where you just go collect a lot of bananas. But some of the bonus levels are actually like more interesting this time. And
cool.
There's just cool stuff going on. So anyway,
you got me.
Yeah, not a perfect game, but a much needed refinement of the formula.
Maybe a 9.347.
Yes, you got
okay.
It. Okay, I'm done. Me. Someone else talk.
Jeff, I think the way that you look at Nintendo platformers is the way that I look at high profile AAA shooters.
Which is
like, both of us don't love it, but we have admiration for them, and we do. It's like a guilty pleasure, you know.
Oh well, I would say Mario is like my favorite. Like Mario 3, I loved Mario 3D World.
I'm gonna put you on the spot. What's a better game, Mario 3D World or Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze?
Mario 3D World.
Oh no! Now I don't want to play it as much.
But you didn't like 3D World as much as I did.
No, that's true. Okay,
play it. Just play it.
I'm just saying, like, with our Titanfall talk tonight, you know, it's like, to me, I'm like, oh, that sounds great. I want to get into that and just, like, shoot dudes, run around, have a gun, kill guys. Yeah, sounds fun. Giant robots. Awesome. But then, like, you know, you're selling the, if we're trying to win Jamie over on, like, the things that we're into.
Yeah.
Like, then you're like, well, action platformer, Donkey Kong, classic, retro, secret exits. And I'm like, oh, fart noise. Whereas you're thinking like...
See, that turns me on. When he said secret exits, I was
secret exits are vital. Secret exits are like, if you make your platformer and you don't put a secret exit in there, yawn. Like I, which is stupid to say, but that enhances the game so much to me. Right. And that's one of the reasons that I like this game so much better. But Griffin, I would say that I share your sentiment about Titanfall. I very much appreciate it, and I've watched it, and it looks fun, but I know that if I bought it, I probably wouldn't.
So neither of you guys played Unreal back in the day?
I did not.
No, I sucked at video. I still continue to suck at video games, so that was not a thing that I was into.
Yeah. I thought I would buy...
I was playing Final Fantasy games back then.
So was I, but, you know, I had the... You know, every so often... Anyway, to our listener, if Jen played Unreal back in the day,
totally,
yeah, she did.
I know she did. So she'll like it. You know,
yeah. I might still get it.
Do not just say those things because she is the one who's trying to get me or trying to buy an Xbox One.
Really?
Wow. Jen, did you know that it will do your taxes for you?
Jen, have you heard of this thing called the cloud? Because I understand that it's the future.
It has it.
Yeah,
Xbox One has it.
Yeah.
Do you know that Xbox One right now is on sale? You get $20 off. That's $20.
Actually, there is a hilarious promotion going on where if you order it from the Xbox store on Microsoft and you put in promo code the number one, just one, they take off $100.
What?
Whoa. Yeah.
Do you have to pay it back?
I don't know if they've since canceled
in
the
blood.
Deal. It sounded a little glitchy with
yeah,
just,
it's
putting
called
the,
an Xbox
just putting
Gold
the number one in there. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I was going to say, Griffin, I thought I'd have that attitude towards Tropical Freeze. I was not going to buy it because I was like, I appreciate Donkey Kong platformers, but I don't really like them that much. Well, I loved the old ones, but I didn't like the new ones. But this game surpassed my expectations, so buy it, Jamie.
I will.
Okay. South Park.
What?
You played it?
I haven't played it yet. I want to, but I haven't spent money on it.
Griff played it.
Yeah, I played
Griffin,
it.
Talk about it.
And I beat the South Park, the Stick of Truth.
You beat it?
Yes.
Wow.
Is it a typical 60-hour JRPG?
It is a 12-hour better than our JRPG.
It's only 12 hours? Wow.
Yeah.
I see that as a good thing, though.
Yes,
no, I see
totally.
That as a good thing, too.
You know, when I was playing this game, so I played South Park, the Stick of Truth, on the Xbox 360. And I was thinking of you guys, and I was like, you know, I want to say, go play this right now, because it's so good. Mm-hmm. But there's so many caveats when it comes to it. But then there's also not. Like, okay, so this game, it's by Obsidian, so good pedigree there with, like, classic RPG company, but also bad pedigree with current RPGs and any video games done in the last
all
5 years.
All of the glitches.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Fallout New Vegas was the best Fallout.
No, it wasn't.
Shut your mouth.
It was a flaming pile of horse poop.
You're wrong. We're going to fight to the death.
No.
Jamie,
no. No.
I thought people liked it. I never
Vegas
played it.
Better. Yes.
Companions
for the
game.
Like a better,
poor
it seems
story.
Like a it seemed like a when I only played it for 5 seconds, but it seemed like if you liked the first one and you didn't want it to like fall apart when you tried to do something, then you would like this game.
I wouldn't go that far.
Wait,
it still fell apart when you tried to do things.
Did you play this game on the PC?
Yes.
I did.
Okay, that's different. Yep, okay.
Okay, are you just responding to the glitchiness, Griffin?
It's an inferior game in story and design.
Well, I don't necessarily
but
agree.
But technically,
about that.
It is a better game on the PC than Fallout 3 could have ever been.
Jamie Griffin's wrong. Don't listen to him.
I feel like when I played it, I feel like New Vegas had more story faster.
New Vegas, I think like your stats and like how you play matters more in New Vegas, although moral choices in those games are always kind of shitty, but I don't know. But we won't get into that because it's a whole other thing.
Thief?
Look forward to our Fallout exclusive podcast.
Look forward to the Fallout.
It is Battle Royale.
5 years later.
The Fallout of Fallout.
The battle that nobody asked for. Comparing two really old games. So, South Park.
So, it's really good. It takes a lot of classic RPG tropes, like, you know, side quests, leveling, all those things, and just really condenses them down. The only negative thing you can say about the game is, like, it is a South Park episode. So all the jokes are, hey, remember that bit in South Park? Or, like, let's make fun of video games. And they're all done really well. Like, it's all done in a way that you would expect South Park to be, where it's not like, oh, aren't video games stupid, nerd, dork? You should go outside some more. It's like making... That's not what they are. It is like a joke that's like, you know, making fun of idle animation or... like, oh man, I'm so bored playing this RPG. I can't believe you have to wait every turn. Like, it's clever jokes, not berating the player for breaking the fourth wall jokes.
Well, they like video games, so I would, and they also cited Earthbound as an inspiration. So clearly, they actually like know their shit.
Yeah, there is hell of Earthbound feel to this game, where it's like exploring a very small area. Well, I should say exploring like a very real area that it has a very realistic map. Like it's very fun. So I don't know. South Park is an amazing game. You should all play it. It is one of the best RPGs ever because it is like the new Western RPG where you can have the joys of the JRPG, but it is.
Did I lose you?
It's a half and a half. It's that's it. There is a David Hasselhoff joke in that game.
There is?
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Pretty big one. there are some offensive things there, which I think
I heard you go inside a butt.
Yeah, that's not the worst part. No, that one's weird. But I mean, it's like any episode of South Park where you're like, I can't believe, like, your initial reaction is like, oh my gosh, they really did that, and then you're like, well, okay, just calm down. Like, oh, but there's some truth there. Like, it's that stupid like progression of, okay, it's a South Park thing. Of course, this is gonna happen. Just chill out. It's just a little weirder playing it.
Griff, you said that the jokes were mostly like, hey, I remember that thing that happened in South Park. Are these new jokes, or is it literally rehashing old plot points?
If you've never seen a South Park episode before, the jokes will feel like mind-blowingly hilarious. We're like, Nazi zombie cows that only speak in Hitler quotes, hilarious! But, you know, if you know where that's coming from, you're like, oh, that was an awesome thing from a long time ago. Or you're like, oh, aliens abducting people and probing their butts. Like, hilarious, but also, you know, a throwback to a South Park thing. Or, like, you walk into a house and the TV is on and it's a Terrence and Phillip infomercial. Or it's something talking about queefing. Or it's Cartman singing the Jennifer Lopez song. Like, it's like they're taking all the pieces from the show that are funny and they're there. Or, like, this is the thing that really made it stand out to me, that, like, this is a game that is just really going for the nostalgia factor. And that's, you can go into the main characters' rooms in their house, open their closet, and you can't interact with it at all. But in the closet is just like a bunch of
shit from
things,
old StarCraft.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, there's Asimo. Yeah, old Asimo. Yeah, old StarCraft.
I find myself distracted by Jamie posting pictures of David Hasselhoff to enhance our document.
You see SCV good to go right in that closet, and saw that's the stuff.
What about the actual combat?
Way better than any JRPG RPG on the market right now, because it's active, has that Mario RPG like hitting buttons, doing things, interacting with the gameplay,
like Paper Mario or Mario and Luigi, right? Like more active than Mario RPG.
Very
every attack and defense is timed,
right? But it's not just like press the A button at the right time to dodge an attack. Like, it's like, you have this super special attack and you have to press these buttons in sequence, or you have to rotate this stick and then hit this other button at the right time. Like, it's very active, not just kind of buttoning through things. And then, you know, there's enough diversity with enemies to create strategy and, you know, your co-op partner to, have a little level of tactical stuff.
Do people have been saying that it's rough around the edges, and that certain things like the maps are bad,
Nope.
Yeah. I heard what that about... it was full of glitches.
Nope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like what?
I don't know. Heard that people ran into game breaking glitches.
Yeah, people. That's what
so
I heard
too. Off.
Like literally, like geometry stuff, like walking into stuff.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
That didn't happen to you?
Not once.
Nice.
If that's not a thing, then I'll probably buy it soon.
Yeah.
My heart like doesn't want to spend $60. That's honestly the only reason why I didn't break down and just go buy Dark Souls, because my heart is like $60. Damn it.
Yeah. It's a tough pill to swallow. And like, I don't know why, because it's a full 12-hour game, like, and it's probably great, but I don't know.
Yeah.
For some reason, like, licensed games in my mind.
Really?
Even though it's not really like a license, I don't know.
Yeah, because they wrote it. It's not, you know, it's not a typical license game. My thing is just, I feel poor right now.
Well, you should get Gamefly.
You shut your mouth.
The Stick of Truth is, I mean, I guess if you want to say, like, it's an RPG with RPG trappings, and it's 12 hours, and that's weird, right? It is. Like, it ends, and there is an endpoint, and it doesn't go on for years and months, but that's a good thing. Like, having a more truncated, compressed JRPG is a good thing.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm glad that it takes cues from JRPGs, because I freaking miss fun JRPGs.
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
Did you stop liking Bravely Default, Jeff?
I haven't progressed in a while. I'm trying to do the side quest, and it's super hard, and the dungeons feel so bland. I don't know. It's not the same.
Is
I'll
it
play
because
it,
the
I'll
whole
get
game feels kind of bland?
A little bit. Yeah. I talked to Griffin about this. It just... My excitement for it has scaled back significantly. I still feel that Four Heroes of Light for DS was a more entertaining game than this one. I am sure I'm in the extreme minority with that opinion, but I much preferred it to this game.
Yeah. Well, you should play this JRPG that is out for WRPG people.
I will, and I'm sure I will. At some point, I will return to Bravely Default, and I'm not that far, and I also am doing something I don't have to do, and I'm playing on the hardest difficulty, so I'm sure I could make it more fun for myself if I just took away some handicaps, but yeah, I haven't progressed in that in a while. At some point, though.
Cool.
Anyway.
You should play Stick of Truth. I don't know what else to say about it besides, because a lot of it is like, gag based, like there are a lot of funny jokes and a lot of funny things and a lot of references, and it's like, oh man, the Christmas poop or whatever.
Yeah Okay,
so I also played another poopy game.
What?
It's called Dark Souls 2.
You don't like
go
it
on.
I don't know what if do I don't mean? Like it yet.
What do you mean?
I played it for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really think that's a good time to get a feel for Dark Souls.
Did you play the first one?
Which one? Dark Souls 1 or Demon Souls?
Dark Souls. Although I guess I could also guess about Demon Souls, but
no, never played Demon. Well, I played Demon Souls briefly, touched it, didn't understand it totally.
Okay.
But I played a lot of Dark Souls, had a good time with that.
Okay.
But I guess I totally did it wrong. Now in the age of listening to people do podcasts about how to play Demon or Dark Souls correctly.
Those people are wrong. I feel like people who you can get deep into the mechanics and still have fun, but the most fun thing about that game is wandering around, not knowing what the hell you're doing. Just like, I'm playing the game and I just bought these two really powerful swords and I found out I can't repair them. So they're basically worthless to me. And that's like Dark Souls to me. just wandering around, not really knowing what the hell is going on. I don't know. But go on. So tell me about your impressions of two. What makes you feel like you're on the fence so far?
Well, only because I haven't played a lot of it is the basic side of that. Like, I don't feel like I'm in any... I haven't fought any major bosses. I haven't done anything that are like, oh, this big grandiose demon thing exploded out of the ground and murdered me all of a sudden. So, you know, I can't speak to that. But I can kind of do some, like, reactionary talk. And that is, so there are some things that I'm already noticing that are weird about this game. And that's, like, typically, like, the role... is weird. Okay, so this is like really granular, but like, you know, Dark Souls, like you have a dodge roll.
Mm-hmm.
This dodge roll is like really, really narrow. You're rolling in place kind of. The combat is pretty much the same where you're like, you know, running up on dudes, you have your melee attacks and whatnot, but there's like different kinds of attacks you can do where it's like you have piercing damage, crushing, smashing damage or whatever with fists.
Yeah, that depends on the weapon type, right?
Yeah, but like enemies have certain weaknesses to them too. And then like right in this starting area, I accidentally found this weird, horrible manatee monster that I was going to do a back attack on, and it just like fell over on me. So I was like, oh, okay.
So you died.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty Dark Souls to me.
Yeah. And did then you, I got an did achievement like that was ones? Like, this is Dark Souls.
So you said you didn't like Demon Souls, is what you, and then, but did you like the first Dark Souls?
Yes, I like Dark Souls.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. I've been wondering, because I know that the
Estus Flask is a one-time thing. When it starts, you get other healing items, but they're heal over times.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I was going to say, I heard, or I know, rather, that the original director is not directing this particular project. And I've wondered how things would shake out in the long run, like if it had the same feel.
Yeah.
Dark Souls, which I think was the most, I mean, forget about the, you know, the granular mechanics, which I think go a long way to creating the feel. But I wondered, you know, at the end, you know, when the people who really kind of, because, you know, people are, you know, the first game was an underappreciated gem. Second game, these ratings are expected, you know, 90 something Metacritic, totally expected. It's almost like people are going back to rate, you know, to rate Dark Souls, basically, when they rate this game. It's like, oh, we gave it an 8 back then, but really we meant, you know, a 10.
Right. We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if... I kind of, like, I want to know, like, once a lot more people have played it, will it actually have the same feel? Like, does it actually have the same feel as the original or not? And that's what I wonder. Will it affect me in the same way that the original has?
No, because... Here is why. If you played Dark Souls before and you're like, oh, this is how Dark Souls should be, and like everything is... What the heck is going on? Is there an animal sniffing a mic?
I think that's Jamie.
Oh, Jamie, are you awake?
Is that just me? Sorry.
Jamie's just looking at the pictures on the Google Doc.
He's like huffing at your...
Such excitement. That Venusaur Doge is amazing, by the way. Yeah. I'm going to save that to my computer right now.
No, I'm sorry. That was just me breathing. I'm actually listening pretty intently because I want to know if I should play this game. So I won't breathe anymore.
Okay, good. Stop. That'll put you in a better headspace to understand Dark Souls talk.
not breathing.
I think that I don't want to talk about like the mindset for a Dark Souls person, because I've been listening to a lot of Dark Souls discussion recently, and those people are intense who love it. But I also like that too. Like, it's like, you know, people who are really into like World of Warcraft, or people who are really into like a Rust game, or like a Minecraft, like something that is just like you need to have this secret understanding of the world going around you, and there is joy in that like archaic knowledge. And Dark Souls, like, I played it and I enjoyed it, and there was a point, like, I feel like I'm a little atypical, where I didn't play it immediately and was like, oh, I can't do it. I played it for a long time, like maybe 20 hours, and was like,
okay,
I can't do it anymore.
Interesting.
And there was never like a boss or anything that was like, oh, this is too difficult and challenging for me. It was just like, I don't know where I'm going. Like, I'm exploring this world and it's super cool, but I think I'm doing it wrong. So I don't want to get into a habit of like critiquing what other people are saying of this game in terms of like the Dark Souls fandom. But I will say that this game feels different enough from Dark Souls to make it feel like the next iteration, but it is not kind of like that leap that you would take in a franchise, like where you're like, this was X, but this is X 2. I mean, I guess I'm not saying
this done change the game.
Yeah, like this feels like a sequel. This feels like, okay, oh man, you guys really liked Borderlands, so here's a little more Borderlands that's exactly like Borderlands, with just more things that you like and some other little things peppered on top to spice it up.
See, that's a little worrisome to me, because I didn't really like Borderlands 2 at all.
Yeah, me either.
I got really sick of it really fast.
But you like Borderlands a lot?
I had a good time with Borderlands. Well, I didn't love it. I didn't love it, but I played it through.
Well, okay. This might be the same thing for you then, because so far I started playing it and it was like very story front loaded where it's, okay, you know, like, let's talk about what's going on, give these vague bull craps about this world you're living in and kind of give you a little nudge in the direction that you have to go in the narrative sense, and then Dark Souls, like you're here's just the, like here's a torch and hope you don't die.
That sounds great so far. Here's my question. Will I feel lonely and confused and like kind of awestruck by the scope and grandeur and quiet beauty of the world?
Yes.
I'm buying it.
But no.
Yeah. Why no?
Because you've already done it. Like,
but this is a new one. But it looks a little different, right?
A little different. Like any, if you're saying like, you know, it's like the Mario syndrome of like, you know, Mario 3 to Mario World, like, or I guess that's the wrong comparison. It's like, it feels like the next game, but for, it's built for people who haven't played the previous game.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Where it is the sequel, but it's the same sequel.
It's Home Alone 2 to Home Alone, are you saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same jokes, the same gags, everything, but just like bigger and with more marketing.
I kind of get what Griffin is saying because
I do, yeah.
Personally for me, like when I look at, I haven't played either game or Demon's Souls, but when I look at the screenshots, Dark Souls 2 looks exactly like Dark Souls 1. So I kind of, if what you're saying, Griffin, is that they're not like adding anything new to the atmosphere, then I definitely understand. But I feel like some people literally just want more different, newer, and they won't care if it's very similar.
No, the thing that I immediately thought of when I was playing was like, this is Myst and Riven. Like, this is the, oh my god, I started playing this game and it's crazy and let's tell these weird anecdotes about how you can get these secret pages and what that secret room is and the tree and the astrological symbols and all that. And then you're like, well, now Riven, it's, you know, now you go into this room and you get this book and you get this thing and this is totally different, but in essence, it's exactly the same. So,
gotcha.
If you've enjoyed the magic once, you're not gonna have that same exciting magical feeling again.
Jamie, gotcha. You should pick up Dark Souls for either the PS3 or the PC, and you should just give it a chance and just be in that world.
No.
And don't. Josh Griffin.
No. I have a valid point. It's not just disagreeing.
Okay.
I'm saying,
okay,
I'm gonna say, go play Dark Souls 2. Like, don't go to Dark Souls.
Okay.
I feel that Dark Souls is like a seminal game. It is something special, and I don't know about Dark Souls 2 yet, so I don't know if it also is. But I know that Dark Souls is a crazy good game.
Go to Dark Souls 2 and do it. Because right now is the time to explore and enjoy the ride because people don't know the answers. And if you jump in it immediately, you can have that enjoyment of like, what the heck is this crap? And go on that exploration with the internet as to like, if I can do this, what does this lead me to? What is this secret pathway I can walk through? What is this? If I put in the Konami code in the start screen, suddenly I get this item that's no good and actually makes me 5 pounds heavier but doesn't do anything. Like, go enjoy the zeitgeist of this game if it's coming out, if you want to play a Souls game. Don't go back and play the old one because everybody's figured it out. Like, right now...
Yeah, but you don't have to take part in that, though. Because I'm not...
Well, then
I don't,
you'll be
I
completely lost
out.
and it's not going to be a
That's
fun
the
game.
That's the whole point, though. Okay, whatever. But like, that's a whole other argument.
You need to go... If you're going to play a Souls game, like, there is a community element of it where you need to be involved with other people. You're like, I did this! What's going on? Help! Ah!
So it's basically like Animal Crossing in a lot of ways.
Not at all.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
That was a joke.
I know that in Dark Souls 2, the community is a little more forced on you because you can always, no matter. So in Dark Souls, you have two forms. You can either be like undead or you can be human. And when you're undead, you play alone. But when you're human, you can summon other people into your world to play co-op with you, or you can be invaded by other people who are trying to kill you. I always play alone because I think it's more fun that way. So what Griffin's saying doesn't apply to me for the most part.
No. You're missing. I'm not saying you never play online in that game because people will kill you immediately. I'm saying it's the online message board discussion which makes that game interesting. Like it's the Fez. I'm along for this mystery.
I think the game itself stands alone personally, but I understand your perspective, I suppose. Go ahead, Griffin. I'm sorry.
No, that's all. I was just. That's it. That's it.
I think. Griffin has a perspective. I have a perspective. I think we just disagree a little bit. But I want to try Dark Souls 2 and give my impressions on it too.
Animal Crossing.
Are you going to return it, Griff? Or are you going to try to beat it?
There's no way I'll beat it. It's. You can't.
Yeah, it'll be long.
You cannot beat a Souls game if that's not the only game you devote your entire year to.
So. I don't know if I. Okay. Well, okay.
Have you beaten Have you beaten the Souls game?
No, I'm working my way through Dark Souls though.
Are you in Dark Souls?
I am entering the catacombs. I just finished the depths. I just killed the gaping dragon.
Oh, so you're doing it totally wrong. Yeah.
Welcome to my
world. Yeah.
I've rung one of the bells already.
That's doing it. You're absolutely wrong.
Okay. I'll find out.
Jeff, because you're playing it like how I played it, where I was like, oh my gosh, I rang the bell, I did this stuff, I killed the gaping dragon, and then now the consensus has turned to be that is completely a side deviation of nonsense.
Yeah, but I don't care about that. I know that you don't have to kill the gaping dragon, but I want to kill the gaping dragon. I want to do everything.
I feel like Jeff's attitude towards the game is I feel like what the attitude the game wants you to have. Like if you just want to win, I feel like there are games for that. Like if you just want to win,
you can critical path it and people can beat it in like 12 hours without speedrunning. But if you play it the whole way through and you're not you don't know about the game, it takes you like, you know, 60 hours or something.
I thought the point of this game was like, I see a dragon, like it would be pretty cool if I could kill that dragon. I'm going to try 30,000 times and then I'll kill that dragon. I thought that was what the game.
That can be part of it too, yeah. For sure. I'm kind of doing that right now with a dude.
The best explanation that I've heard is Dark Souls is like what Zelda could have become if it wasn't a Nintendo game, like where it is very simplified combat, one hit kills, very exploration heavy with dungeons that aren't which are very like simplified single action and focus more on like raw exploration and not like tools and puzzle solving. I think that's kind of what Dark Souls is, but it's calling it Zelda also is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Griffin, I'm really enjoying, like, I know that Gaping Dragon is not necessary to clear the game for whatever reason, but I'm just enjoying, like, being in that world and wandering around. It's taking me a long time, but I'm having fun with it. And admittedly, I came to the game very late, first of all. And second of all, when I got cursed, I stopped playing the game for like months at a time because I was like, I hate being cursed. Mm-hmm. Your health gets cut in half when you're cursed, Jamie, and they're hard to cure.
Gotcha.
Now you just go to the guy in the tower.
I didn't know about the guy. I found the guy. I found a different guy.
There's a guy by the gargoyles.
Yeah. There's another guy too. There's
Don't
a lady
ever play
in the
these
sewer.
Games. They're terrible.
You're crazy. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. So Dark Souls 2, not fully grabbed you yet?
No, it has. It's very much grabbed me. I'm ready to dig into it. But I'm afraid. I'm not ready.
All right.
Oh, okay. Oh, and one last thing about that is... the narrative of the game seems to be very much in the vein of like every bit of marketing from the last Souls game, where it's like, you're going to die. You're going to die again. And then, like, you know, the first 20 minutes of the game is just, like, exposition of, like, oh, you're obsessed with doing the same thing over and over again. You are a Dark Souls player. You're going to die. This is going to be the end for you. You're going to be stuck in here forever. Ha ha hey, ha Griffin. Ha ha.
Hey, Griffin, how's the game look? Is the lighting engine bad?
Oh, I don't know. Like, it looks like it did before. It's fine.
NeoGAF has a like 20-plus page thread about the lighting changes in Dark Souls 2. Right. I'm not even kidding.
I looked at that, and they're comparing the PS3 engine against a PC build, demo build.
No, they actually are comparing a PS3 beta that was distributed to players that played it on PS3. It's kind of the only thing that kind of sucks is that, as I understand it, there was going to be a mechanic about torches and being in dark areas with torches, and that mechanic no longer really works.
What's the mechanic?
Just having to hold a torch in a dark area and being surrounded by darkness.
That's still there. You're still in dark areas with torches.
Do you need them still to see?
Not unless you crank the saturation.
The gamma, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Like down really low. But
okay.
No, like...
Okay.
You can do that in the Dark Souls
crazy
game,
bastards.
Too. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to the catacombs, and the catacombs are pretty freaking dark, so...
Yeah, I mean, it'll be the same in this game, too, but if you don't... I don't know, like... It depends on how your TV is and what your output is and what your cables are going to be. There's so many factors involved that you can't just say, like, this game has a messed up codec, which it probably does, so
okay.
Fine.
All right.
Play it on the PC.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that.
It'll probably
be
better
if I can manage to wait.
Yeah.
I think I can, because I'm going to just play Dark Souls in the meantime. Cause
it's fine.
Yeah.
You should.
So then I'll get the other one.
Good luck.
Oh, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to
have fun.
Anywho. Moving on. Mediate, Jamie.
Games can be fun for everyone.
What the heck happened to this Google document?
Yeah, stop fighting. Oh, I like the one of Andrew Ryan holding a weight. I really love Venusaur Doge.
I feel like I've been mediating through the Google Doc. Like, when you disagree, I feel like you should just look at one of these varied images. And then you'll agree.
Why is Pharrell surrounded by shoes?
I feel like I understand what Griffin is saying, in that this game is frustrating. And if you're an adult and you have only a couple hours a day, maybe this isn't the game for you.
That's not what I'm saying.
But well, that's kind of the vibe that I'm getting. You're frustrated by certain aspects of it.
Nope.
And those okay.
Well, I think it was something different, but I forget what it was.
Yeah, it's kind of lots of negativeness. But I feel like
no, it's not. I'm telling you that you should play Dark Souls 2.
Oh.
Everybody should play Dark Souls 2. Right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think Griffin's frustration was that the mechanics go really deep and that people like Critical Path it.
No,
right?
That's my frustration is people who are okay, so I was saying if you're playing this game and you have never played a Dark Souls game before, go play this one. Don't worry about what people are saying, like join in what is happening right now. Don't get bogged down with the go play Dark Souls 1. You don't know what's happening. This
okay,
is a totally different game. Like, go play it, because what's happening right now is that Dark Souls 1, like, fun discovery that everyone can have together.
So he feels like once it's been discovered, it's kind of spoiled, because somehow or another you're going to find out. Like, if you look something up, you'll get an answer right away.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like it's, like, what could be spoiled? Like, you know?
Well,
because what's so enjoyable about the Dark Souls games is kind of like it's hard to even qualify. Yeah, it's the not knowing. It's like, is it a mistranslation? Is it a poor localization? Is it poor design? Or is there some weird mastermind conspiracy behind all this that's like, this weapon or this description for this thing is accurate and exactly how it was supposed to say, and it actually has some secret meaning that the end boss in the video game is conveying onto the player.
So you're saying that there's actual story?
There's some story. Not much, but there is some.
There's
lore. There's lots of lore.
Of story to this game, but it's how far do you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Because I feel like the pull of the game is like you don't know what's around the bend. And even like that's if I were to play this game, that's why I would play it. Because
that's what I'm saying. Like if you play Dark Souls and you go to that right now and you say, okay, like I'm going to play this at face value, you will either be immediately discouraged or you'll play it for a while and then you'll do what every other person does and turn to the internet for what is this? How do I do this? What is the best way? But if you go to Dark Souls, you can ride that path of discovery for like, you go to the internet and you say, what is this? Okay, this is what everybody thinks it is, so let's try that. And I think that like being on the front lines as it's happening is more interesting than the, well, this is what you have to do if you want to get this. But if you do this, this will also work. Like everything has been so scrutinized in Dark Souls at this point that the mystery has become uninteresting. Whereas Dark Souls 2, there's still fascinating mystery about it.
And you're saying you can't avoid this because it's so hard that you need it. You need to go online just to get through the game. So you're going to go online. And if you go online now, you might not find the answers immediately, and that's what's fun.
Yes.
Okay. I get you. I see what you're saying. So part of me thinks like I could still try and get my way through Dark Souls 1 without the internet.
I dare you. I dare you.
That's what I'm doing.
Do it.
I'm having fun.
No, you're
Jeff.
Not.
Jeff could do it.
You know, oh yeah,
like
well, it's Jeff.
Person.
That's a different
I'm not
story.
That good at video games.
So that's where the argument comes from. Essentially, is because a normal person really couldn't do it, but Jeff, like, magically, just Jeff sees code.
Right. Yeah. No, Jeff sees like the tool tips and actually understands what Dark Souls is trying to tell you in their menus and garbage. But if you are a real human being who's like, well, I just got this sword and it looks pretty cool. And I got this stone, and somebody tells me that I can combine them plus 3xy/2. You're like, what does that looks like a glitch? But actually,
what I
that means something.
I had to look up how to jump because how to jump is challenging.
So basically, Griffin's argument is valid if you haven't played The Binding of Isaac for over 130 hours. However,
385?
Oh my God. If you have played The Binding of Isaac for 385 hours plus, then Griffin's argument is not valid. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah.
You should play Dark Souls. It is a seminal game. It holds up, I promise. But maybe not. Maybe play Dark Souls 2. It's not going to ruin Dark Souls to play Dark Souls.
I don't think I'd be bothered because I don't plan on, even if I bought that game, I don't plan on beating it. I don't plan on getting 20% of the way through it.
Yeah.
I plan on having some fun, looking through some caverns, dying a bunch of times, and then I'll call it a day.
Jamie, as I know you play Demon's Souls. The cool thing about Dark Souls, by comparison, is it is an interconnected world where like there are no levels. There is just a giant world where everything is connected to everything, and the geometry of the world like actually makes sense. Well, at least in the beginning. I haven't gotten to the later parts yet.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
And you will find like I found a path from the like kind of the main part of the like the beginning part of the world that I didn't even know existed like 15 hours into the game. it was just right there, but I just somehow didn't see it.
Jamie, the best way to play Dark Souls is to have a support system. Like
my therapist on the phone?
Essentially, yeah. Like, if you're going to play that game, it's a game that you can, like Jeff is doing, you can brute force yourself through it and, like, play it. But it is better played and enjoyed with other people who are currently doing the same thing as you, or somebody who knows a little more than you do to give you that guidance. Because you can screw yourself over. You can kind of block yourself into a corner in your character design, in your item choices, in everything in that video game. But then on the other extreme, you can also like brute force grind your way out of that hole if you have the patience and time to do it.
Okay. I'm gonna play it.
Okay.
Okay.
Good
so, hey, it's 11:30, guys. Should we do news or should we just wind down?
I'm gonna have to leave in a few minutes anyway. So,
is there one big topic we want to talk about here?
Shaq.
Shaq Fu. Guys, Shaq Fu 2 was on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we forgot to put that down. Okay, I'm going to nix the Watch Dogs Dark Souls 2 downgrade because that was just really talking about Gaff being stupid.
Wait,
Amy Hennig, go
what
ahead.
Is that? Talk about that.
Oh, I already asked Griffin about it. Apparently they downgraded the lighting engine in Dark Souls 2. I told you.
No. Annie, what are you talking about? Naughty Dog. I like Naughty Dog.
What's okay, the deal?
Naughty
so
Doge?
The Uncharted...
Naughty Doge.
The Uncharted writer for, I think, 1 and 3, am I right, Griffin?
1, 2, 3.
I thought Druckmann and Strelley worked on 2.
I was under the impression she did all of Drake's stories.
Okay, well, yeah. She's an important part of
Soul Reaver.
Uncharted. Yes, and Soul Reaver, which people really like. She was an important part of Uncharted. She's gone from Naughty Dog under somewhat mysterious circumstances. It was clear from her Twitter that she didn't want to leave. And I guess some ensuing interviews as well. And people were saying that the Last of Us guys basically forced her out. They actually went so far as to issue an official statement saying they didn't. Mm-hmm. But there's just some weird stuff going on. I mean, there's
that
not
sucks.
Really much more of a story beyond that. But
by Last of Us guys, you mean Last of Us writers or what
writers? Writers.
Yeah. Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley.
Strolley. Yeah.
Straight. Whatever, I'll take them over her.
I think that's kind of the internet. That's how the internet is responding. They're like, wow, this seems really shitty, but the last of us had a better story.
I didn't know about that. That's too bad.
It is too bad.
She's great at writing the Uncharted. I mean, if they're going to make another Uncharted game, which they are, and they want it to be another blockbuster movie type game, then it's unfortunate that they won't have her because she has the capacity to make that work.
Yeah, although the third one was not that great.
Not that great, but, you know.
It was serviceable.
It's all right. If it were any other game, we would be like, well, this game's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. Just didn't measure up to the second one, but... I don't know, maybe that's part of why they forced her out. Maybe they weren't happy with the direction she was taking on this. I mean, I'm assuming they forced her out, but who friggin' knows, you know?
And I noticed here you wrote about the PS4 launch number. You're talking about Japan, and you're also talking about that it tracking in Japan?
So, okay, this is what I'm saying is if you compare the PS4's numbers, you know, in their first couple weeks on the market here, to the Wii U's numbers on its first couple weeks on the market, the PS4 is tracking below the Wii U for sales. So I mean, again, you know, we don't have to really talk about this, but it's worrying because Japan hates their consoles. I'm gonna cut your Shaq picture. Also, so much stuff coming to PS3. They're just like not ready.
But in the U.S. and elsewhere, it's doing. How's it doing?
6 million.
Oh, okay.
Worldwide.
That's good, right?
That's great. Yeah, they unbelievable numbers, and under 4 million for the Xbox One, which is crazy.
Huh.
I
heard news that they're bundling or GameStop raised the price on the camera.
Yep, because it's been selling really well for Twitch streaming.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yep. That's it. I mean, what else are you going to use it for? I'm cutting all your pictures, Jamie. Stop making them big.
Someone mentioned, like, if you bundle your camera with your console, you can look forward to security problems and people hating you. And if you don't, you rule the world.
You can look forward to a price increase.
Yes. So that's interesting. I didn't know that the Twitch – I kind of, you know, dropped out of looking at gaming websites for a couple of weeks slash maybe months, mm-hmm. and then I come back, and it's very surprising to me to hear that the PS4 has this kind of massive lead, and it's kind of captured the hearts and minds of the gamers, and that people are actually doing the streaming. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Streaming is very popular.
Like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Like, what game came out?
Pokemon.
Well, that's for Twitch. Yeah, nothing really has come out. There's been a lot of indies announced, but nothing big has been announced. People just like streaming.
Yep.
I was thinking about streaming Towerfall today when I was playing with Jessica. I was like, oh, I'll just stream it, but I ended up not doing it because we didn't play for long.
That's cool, though. I'm glad to hear that.
It's super easy. I've done it before. I've streamed Rezogun a couple times. So,
just as we predicted, Microsoft is completely insolvent, and the Xbox One was a massive mistake. And no, I'm joking.
Dead in the water, dead in the womb.
I don't know. There's a lot of shit going on over there that
cut it loose.
That makes me worry that they actually will do that, Griffin. I really think there's a lot of investor pressure for them to do that.
Yeah.
To sell the Xbox division?
Oh, yeah.
Hasn't even been a year.
To Lenovo.
I know, but I'm not talking about like, you know, our rationality in terms of like give this console time to grow. I'm talking about prominent investors that are pushing really hard for them to unload the Xbox division. And with all the shakeups in executives, I mean, it is a weird time for them.
It's a weird time for everybody, though. I mean, we have Amy Hennig leaving. We have Jack Tretton stepping down from Sony. I mean, you have the Microsoft changeover with everybody, Don Matrick leaving, and then therefore everybody else restructuring. Like, yeah, stuff's happening. To say this is the end of the world right now doesn't make any sense because everybody's going through a little. It's like it's a new console. There's going to be a new makeup.
Yeah, well, I think it'd be crazy to, you know, to basically write down all those R&D costs. But there is a lot of outside pressure for specifically Microsoft, not Sony. I mean, Sony's doing really badly in the economic, you know, in the big economic picture. But Microsoft is specifically under a lot of pressure to get rid of Xbox. I think a couple other things, like maybe Windows Phone or something. But specifically Xbox, there's been a big push for them to unload that completely. Because it has not been profitable for them. Honestly, like, I understand that they've made a lot of money off Xbox Live, but taken as a whole over the entire development period of the Xbox and the Xbox 360, they haven't been making very much money, if any.
But, I mean, they've also made brand awareness for Microsoft and Xbox. Like, that is their number one cash.
Yeah.
Like, if you say, what is Microsoft, you don't think Windows. It is their in-home console devices. Like, that is the happy thought when you think of Microsoft now. It's no longer I really enjoyed 95.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, Griffin. I don't think investors see that because investors don't really care. They care about short term.
Right. Well, you're not going to have a massive changeover in redesigning your corporate layout if you're just going to cut everybody loose afterwards. Like, they're going to keep the same people on. So,
I agree.
Like I said,
that would be how I
give
would counter.
Time.
Yeah, that would be how I would counter. You know, the kind of rapacious investor who wants to sell off Xbox, but there is a lot of pressure, and that's something that you have to be, you know, kind of cognizant of when you look at the situation, because that's going to influence things. But yeah, no, you're right, Griffin. I mean, it is going to, you know, this is not going to happen overnight.
Right. Well, I mean, how is this different from any other time period? You know, when was there a time in the Xbox 360's life cycle when everybody's like, keep it, let's switch it all over? Like, every console, every time, everybody's like, this is the worst, this is costing us too much money. Kill the GameCube, kill the PlayStation 3, kill it all. You know, it's just growing pains, and it'll be fine.
I suppose so. I mean, I guess it just feels like a particularly weak time because of the scope of the transition that's going on over there. Like, a new CEO coming in, you know, rumblings of all kinds of internal drama. I mean, if you read crap about what's going on between Ballmer and Gates and all kinds of other stuff, apparently Gates was forced out, you know, all this crazy shit. So it's just a weird time. That's the only reason that I am reacting to it so much.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. I feel like you want the people who started the new console thing to see it through, you know, because you feel like they maybe have an understanding of and that they were the ones who came up with the vision for the thing. And so then when they all jump ship, it's kind of like
the tribe is gone, Jamie.
But then
well, it's more like what's coming next.
Rocket Girl is dead.
I don't really think any of the suits at Microsoft
Velocity Girl.
Yeah, I agree. They probably don't care.
I think
and that, someone else probably can, you know, do it equally well.
I think the Xbox team cares a lot. I don't think that the higher ups really care. And I think some of them are going to be interested in the Xbox's potential for growth, and some of them are going to be hostile towards it and view it as a drain.
I think you guys are just reacting to this too much, because there is evidence that this is not going anywhere. They just acquired a studio. Black Tusk was purchased by Microsoft to make the next Gears of War game, which they purchased the Gears of War franchise. Like, there is facts here that is saying
dollars.
That this will continue to go forward, and they will continue to support the Xbox brand. But if you're saying that investors are unhappy, investors are always unhappy.
Yeah, but they're strong. They're powerful.
Well, that's just because you're American. You can understand
the former
them.
CEO of Ford or whatever is like who tried to take over the company, and he was interested in unloading Xbox. That was like his thing. He was like, "You should
Everybody
sell Xbox."
Everybody is always interested in unloading Xbox.
The more interesting thing to me, because I don't really understand how I understand that investors are powerful, but the more interesting thing to me is that I kind of predicted that this console generation would be the same as the last one, because I feel like the fan base is pretty entrenched. So I was ready for it to be pretty neck and neck, but for the Xbox to be, you know, kind of ahead. I'm very surprised that it's 2 million in one direction. That's very surprising to me.
It is, yeah.
So maybe if I were involved in Microsoft at some level, that would be surprising and scary to me as well. Because last generation, they just kind of had it in the bag, right. And then they're like, "Oh my God, why is this happening? Why don't people like our camera?"
Well, think of it this way too. I mean, the Xbox has launched in less regions than the PS4. Period.
Okay.
But they also are sitting on a lot of unsold stock.
It is more expensive. It is not available in as many regions as the PlayStation 4 was. It was announced second. I mean, there are a lot of things that are going against that product.
Yeah.
But the most valuable thing, the kind of media sway, like what the media seems to be portraying about which one is ahead at the moment, that one seems to be pretty solidly in the for the PS4.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like how the Xbox overtook the PlayStation 3, you know? You make...
But in the long game, though, you know, in that case, there's an example of why the initial numbers might not tell the whole story, because in the long game, they're about level. So maybe that's what it's going to look like at the end of this generation. Maybe the Xbox One catches up. I mean, you know, it's possible.
I think the Xbox 360 clearly outshone the PS3. And, you know... If you want to say numbers-wise, you could say that things...
Well, I agree, Griffin. But what I'm saying is just from a pure, like, you know, like 2 million isn't insurmountable, I guess, is my point.
Oh, sure.
So
sure,
yes,
sure.
Yes, there's a big gulf, but, you know, that doesn't tell the whole story.
Right. It's troubling, absolutely.
You're still going to get one, Griffin. You're gonna pay $400 on the Microsoft Store.
Can I tell you guys what I did not predict? I did not predict that NES Remix 2 would be the title that skyrocketed the Wii U to number one on the console charts.
You mean in Japan?
No, worldwide. When it hits in April, you guys just don't know yet. I've seen.
I thought you were not telling the future. I thought you were telling the truth. I was about to be. My jaw hit the floor.
No, the Wii U is going to die. A horrible death.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad. Had so much promise.
Well, once again, games are over. Everything's dead. Don't ever play anything or look forward to anything, because it's all garbage.
There you go.
Go read a book.
Go read a book. Go watch an HBO television show.
Griffin, can you cut in at the end of this podcast that read a motherfucking book? I'll send you the link.
I don't know what that is.
Read a book. You know, right, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Is that an Andy Samberg song?
No, it's I have no idea what it is. Yeah, it does sound a little bit like it,
This is a South Park joke.
yeah. No, it's just a thing on the internet. I'll hook you up with it.
I got so many games to play now. I gotta play South Park. I gotta play Dark Souls 2/1. I gotta play Frozen Tropical Froyo. So many.
Froyo. The levels in Tropical Freeze are huge, by the way, just so you know. They're like big levels. They take like maybe like 1.5 times as long, 2 times as long as the levels in the first game, but they're super fun. You can play one and be like totally satisfied.
They're like epic voyages.
Yeah, for sure.
I like that. Some Rayman levels feel like that. I like
Yeah,
that.
it's definitely got a Rayman vibe.
Yes!
And yeah,
God, I'm so excited.
like I
You know
said,
what
you know,
else has a Rayman vibe?
what's that?
South Park. I'm just kidding. I was just trying to get the cell, Jamie.
Well, I'm definitely gonna play. I mean, I'm pretty excited for that too.
Yeah, I'm gonna get there. I feel like I've got a lot on my plate already, so I'm just
It's
like taking
only
it
gonna
slow.
get worse.
True that.
What's coming out soon? There's the game with the Infamous.
Yes,
That
The
game.
Order 1886, guys.
Infamous is becoming the more interesting game to me, more exciting, most exciting game.
Thief.
I already played
That's
that.
already out.
It's some
I'm
hot
just gonna
trash.
keep saying. I'm just gonna keep saying thief for the
Thief?
rest of the time that we do these podcasts. Thief.
Thief did not do so well.
Thief
I
did not
know.
impress.
It looks awful. I'm just gonna keep saying thief.
Yeah.
You get
Stealth.
that. Ground Zeroes.
When is
Oh,
that?
shit.
Next week, Monday,
It's
Tuesday.
18th. Next Tuesday. I'm super excited for that.
Yeah.
What is that? I don't understand. I still don't understand. Is it a demo?
Yeah.
And how
Yes.
much does it cost?
Four.
$30.
Yeah.
And how long does it last? An hour?
2 hours.
2 hours, but you can do lots of different variants of
You
the
can
same
take
mission.
pictures of garbage, and that'll extend your playtime.
Fuck that guy.
They give
If
you.
I ever saw Hideo Kojima in a bar, I would kick him in the nuts and run
But
away.
you would buy a game. You would pay. You would give him $30 for
That's
Ground
why I
Zero,
have
and
to
then
kick him in
kick
the
him in the
nuts.
nuts.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something.
He's a dirtbag.
You're going to do the main mission, and then you get to play around in the exact same field doing other missions.
I'm gonna send him a mail bomb.
Essentially, it's like a fighting game
Yeah.
against AI opponents.
Shannon is saying that you shouldn't put that part on because everyone's gonna think I'm a terrorist.
I just had an exchange with someone on the internet where I talked about mail bombs, so apparently I'm going to jail too.
Good.
This is too many mentions of mail bombs in one
No!
period of time.
Can we
Mail bombs.
rename Boss Barrel mailbomb.com?
Impeach the president, bomb the White House dot com.
You guys gotta watch Obama on Between Two Ferns if you haven't seen it already. It's
I did
good.
watch it. It was good.
Good. Oh man, there's so much to play. Jesus, what am I gonna do?
Stop watching
Who's gonna
garbage on the internet and go play video games.
Okay.
There you go.
Play
Solution.
Dark Souls.
Play anything except for Zach Galifianakis.
I think my list for now, like in terms of like necessity, is Tropical Freeze and then Ground Zeroes. And then maybe Infamous under that? I
It's
don't
good
know.
choices.
Yeah.
Did you like Infamous?
Yeah, why not? I'm excited for the new one. You know, I couldn't get it. The old ones were like free. The first one was free, and then I don't know how I came into the second one. I think I got it used for nothing. And so I never really got into them, but I always thought like, oh, these are fun. These are good. And then I just didn't play them.
Yeah, they're solid.
They're really
Yeah.
good games.
I'm probably not gonna buy it, I'll be
The
honest.
first one turned me off because the first one was like almost a launch game for PS3, or it came out in launch, you know, a couple years. What, Griffin, you probably know.
Like 2008,
Yeah, it wasn't launch.
Okay, so not
maybe
launch, but
2009.
towards, I guess, towards the when the console was youngish, when the generation was maybe a little younger, and so there were a couple tropes in that game right off the bat that kind of turned me off because I played it later. I played it in maybe 2012 or something,
Wow,
and
yeah,
like it.
totally. You could have played the second one by that point.
The first one was like, hey, like jump through these rings. It was doing that kind of
Yep,
thing.
yeah.
And I was like, but I still thought it was fun. So
Interesting.
I'm looking, and the new one looks fun.
My main thing with them is I just burn out because they're always huge and it's the same thing just over and over and over again.
Eh.
And you get bored. But
Okay.
we'll see. Maybe this is different. I'd be happy.
If you that's don't, the thing, if you though, don't, right? in, it, well, Jeff, you've had this problem before. Where you're like, Batman combat is boring. If you don't enjoy like the combat puzzles and you don't enjoy like the level of the character progression and leveling up and getting new abilities and using them, then you won't like these games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I get that with these games, yeah. And I do like the Batman combat, and I did like the Infamous combat, so probably.
Jamie, you heard about Arkham Knight, right?
No.
There's a new Rocksteady announced their final Batman game.
These are the people who don't suck at making
final Batman game.
So these are the good people.
The good people, and it's going to have the Batmobile in it.
What?
And you can call the Batmobile by pressing a button, and it comes zooming in, and it can kill people.
I assume this is coming out at Christmas, next Christmas, because that's when they seem to like to do them.
I think so. And it's like October, next gen only.
Yeah.
It's gen only, Jamie.
Not PC?
Well, maybe PC, but it's not going to be on old gen consoles.
I love playing it on my PC.
It means it's going to look good.
Because when I turn them on, it's like NVIDIA. And I'm like, that's what I have.
Yeah, but
what a coincidence.
It's not going to be on the old one, so it's going to look better.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not going to be on PS3 Xbox. It's not cross-gen.
I'm really excited. Yeah. Hey, Jeff, why don't you learn how to like punching people as Batman?
I think I'm going to try to learn for this game.
Jeff, did you ever have action figures?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when you had an action figure, you would just like have one action figure punch the other action figure.
Yep.
So why can't you like this?
Because when I did it, it was cool.
Oh, man.
Like I said, way better moves than Batman.
If you were Batman, what would you do? Punch people. This is what that game
it is his raison d'etre. Punching people in the face.
Anyway.
I've got an idea. Jeff.
Yeah?
What's that?
Would you think, what if it had like a Sherlock Holmes the movie mechanic where you could strategically plot out your action within a combat arena and rewind as needed, kind of like a la Prince of Persia, and then like replot your actions and then hit the go button, watch your character play out the actions you chose for him, and then you could pause it again at any time and remap them?
And it's called the VATS system.
Kind of, yeah. It's like it's a BATS system.
The BATS system.
And Matthew Perry's in it.
Yeah.
Doing his most phoned-in
performance. Actually, the entire cast of Friends is in it. David Schwimmer is Batman. Rachel!
I'm so sad. That'd be great.
David Schwimmer would make a better Batman than whoever's who's playing him next.
What's this?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Oh,
David Schwimmer would make a better Batman than
Ben Affleck.
Than Ben Affleck.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say, I would like Batman better if it was like Metal Gear Rising or something. If it was just ridiculous and stupid.
It's already there.
It feels so... I know this sounds stupid, but it feels so big and dumb.
And how is that different from Metal Gear Rising?
Because it's like fast and dumb.
Oh.
And also big and dumb. I don't understand myself.
You have to like that kind of lumbering feel. Like you're just kind of like Juggernaut and you punch people.
Like pretty much. It's like God of War, except the thing about God of War that is different from Japanese action games and even more of that.
I don't think that's right. No. Have you played God of War games?
Yeah.
I mean, they have a combo system, but it is very limited in its actions. Where I think Batman, you have a branching tree moment at every attack. Like, any time you have an action, you can take it into a different direction. Whereas God of War is like, you have your massive combos and your beautiful-looking, crazy, zany set-piece nonsense. But this is like... For combat, Batman is very fluid, even though it does have that lumbering, beefy man feel. He's also he can jump around, dodge, change the flow, counter, stun, use all of your tools that you have as Batman to change up the flow of combat.
It sounds like I need to boot this up again and give it another chance, and then invariably
for some reason not like it
that I can't fully articulate.
Have some mistaken assumption about the game. Don't play. Don't play City. Don't play Asylum.
Don't play any of them.
Don't play
Asylum.
Go play Blackgate. Blackgate. That's the one you want, right?
I feel like in City, you're doing what Griffin says a little more, or at least that's why I felt. And it might it might just be subjective, but I felt like in City, you feel kind of lumbering, hulky. You feel that at the beginning of a battle, but then when you start to chain stuff and you're just like darting between enemies, I feel like there's more of that, or maybe it's easier to do in Asylum or City. I don't know. The second one. You want the second one. And that's what I actually found fun about it, is that you kind of start out feeling slow.
Okay.
And if you're successful, by the end of an encounter, you feel like a really quick badass.
That might be where I lost the plot. I felt slow and then I quit.
It's self-imposed goals for Batman, Arkham, whatever. Like, if you're looking at it as like, I need to get through this group of enemies to get to the next checkpoint, you can do that really quickly and you can just kill everybody and it's really uninteresting. But if you say like, I want to get my combo chain up and I want to have that flow going and like the uninterrupted zen moment of combat and like really feel it, then I think that game can really speak to you. Mm. Like in kind of like a Dante's whatever feel, like where you're just like one with the action.
It's like every action game, but in a good way, not in the bad ways that I thought it was not like every action or not like the action game that I liked.
The self-imposed goals thing that Griffin is saying is spot on. Cause I'd just feel randomly, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to kill all of these guys with guns with my Batarang.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Or, like that would be the worst thing to use in this situation, but I'm just going to run up to these guys and hit them in the face with a Batarang from point blank.
Try and use every single one of your tools in one fight.
Okay, that interests me a lot more. That's the thing. I like that in action games. So if that's there, I'll be happy.
And that's why I think it's very different from your standard action game, because every one of the things you can do doesn't necessarily kill an opponent in combat. It can just set you up for better poise. Like you can put a bomb on the ground and it's not going to kill somebody, but it may disrupt their next attack so you can move on to somebody else.
Okay. Just like a well-placed cape stun, which is a move you have right from the beginning, can make you feel like a total badass.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll have to give it another chance. I have Arkham City, so.
Well, throw that in the toilet because the next one's coming out.
God damn it. Shut your mouth.
Throw that in the toilet. Throw Dark Souls 2 in the toilet. Throw Binding of Isaac in
More
the
like
toilet.
More like Dark Soils.
Bro, Rebirth is coming out for Binding of Isaac.
Throw Final Fantasy VIII in the toilet.
Right now.
Seed
the toilet with moments. Final Fantasy VIII.
I was just joking. I love VIII as well. Jimmy, I've never beaten it.
Can we talk adoringly about old Final Fantasy games and out of earshot of Griffin so he doesn't yell at us for being dumb?
Take an avalanche of a dump on Final Fantasy VII.
The Balam Garden music is playing in my head right now.
Yes. Is Zell eating hot dogs?
Wait. You guys can't like Final Fantasy VIII.
Wait, what?
You like seven. You're seven likers.
Well, I'm not a seven liker.
I'm the seven liker.
I loved seven when I played it, and I still very much appreciate seven.
Oh, then you're a niner, aren't you?
I wasn't always a niner, but I have very much become a niner. But I like them all. I love every FF game except for 13.
What are you, Griff? Are you Griff's a 5, a 6, a 10? What are you?
8.
Oh, nice.
Which is why it's like, you guys said you like Majora's Mask. Now you don't think 8's the worst. That's great. Same team.
Fantastic.
I love 8. I think that of all of those games, I feel like 8 had the kind of tone that we will never get again in any game. Like
you should play Persona.
Okay. We might get another kind of game that feels like 9, and we have a lot of games that kind of approach 7, but I feel like 8 was so unique in terms of its tone and the way the story was played. And it was like the first game where like the bad guy that I played personally were like the bad guys weren't so bad, and then they're on your side, and then
yeah.
I love that about it.
Yeah, it's a great game. People malign it a
There's
lot.
There's a dinosaur in your school's like gymnasium.
I love that.
There's a guide in the internally included instruction pamphlet.
It's hard to believe, but it is the only FF game about high school students.
Yeah, that's why it's so good. You get a stipend.
Oh my god, I love Seed. Seed is one of the coolest things.
Yeah, you get the Mario RPG action trigger, shoot the gun sword. It's a gun sword, by the way. Yeah. Sword that shoot bullets.
I love how utterly inscrutable your Seed ranking is, and how it just goes up and down without any rhyme or reason.
Also, if you get all the questions right, you can max level, and then it just degrades, and there's no way to get it back up to max level.
Yeah, except for like fighting enemies or something. I don't even know. Like,
there's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing.
There is a way to max it out too early, and then it just dips, and you can't do anything about it.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, draw system completely broke the game for good in a good way.
Oh yeah, you can be max level, or not max level. You can be max power basically in the very beginning of the game. You can be set for the entire game.
There is a scene in that video game where you get into a revolver and it shoots you into space.
I remember that. It's a great game.
It is such a good game. Man.
I'm glad you like that game, Griffin. I thought you had written off all FF.
No, 8 is my favorite. Feel good. Just because, okay. Again, it's like the Tokyo Drift of, like, so stupid it's awesome.
Okay. 9's great, too. So is 7. 7's a great game. They're all great.
Nah.
6 is great.
They're all pretty terrible.
Did either of you... Griffin, you definitely played Super Nintendo. You were all over them Nintendo. So I went to your house and played Secret of Evermore.
I played 5 and 6, but I didn't really play 6.
What did you play 5 on?
I played 5 on the PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
The Anthologies / Chronicles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not the ideal way to play that game, because it had some major lag, but yeah. Great. I love that game.
I do not recall that. I just remember having a blast with it.
Yeah, story is terrible, but the combat is awesome.
Yeah.
Go to the moon on a whale.
That's 4.
Oh, okay. Wait, what's 5 then?
5 is the job system one.
Oh, I never played that one.
Okay.
Really bland story.
Yeah, story's really, pretty bad.
But that game was hard.
It was. Very 5. Very cheesable if you understand the mechanics, but very challenging game the first time through.
Mm.
I really like it. But anyway. Right.
My bladder's going to burst for a second time.
Yeah.
Gross. So
I should probably wrap up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
That's right. So I guess we'll do the Final Fantasy talk next week, and then the week after that. And then next week is
the Fallout New Vegas.
Fallout New Vegas Fight versus Fallout 3.
Dark Souls versus Dark Souls 2.
Dark Souls. Well, I don't think I don't think anybody's qualified to speak on that.
Is Smash Brothers terrible or not?
Oh yeah.
That'll be one where we can get Jane.
Tripping or no tripping.
Oh god, no tripping.
When is the new one out?
I don't know. I don't even care about it, honestly.
Yeah.
But which is sad, because I like the franchise.
Next podcast, it'll be Ground Zeroes, and that's about it, right? So yeah. Maybe we should just do like fight discussion about all these topics we talked about.
I'm sure stuff will come up, because there's a lot that Jamie and I haven't played yet that we may play. I'll have a dog. We can talk about my dog in the context of video games.
I want to play this arrow shooting game.
Terrafall?
Yeah, but I want to see it. I'm going to look right now, see if there's a
Sony
hack.
Activity Friends?
Oh, Sports Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamie, play Nidhogg with me. Buy Nidhogg on Steam and play it online with me. It's the same
Jamie.
Kind
Go
of
play
game.
That video game.
Watch a video of Nidhogg and you'll understand. I promise. It's basically the arrow game, except with fencing swords.
I'm burping. A news article says Towerfall Ascension is coming to PlayStation 4 with online capabilities.
They're wrong.
Damn it.
There is none. Unless they're adding them in. Let me see. I don't
well,
think so, though.
When they,
well, it
so...
will be a mystery for next time, because I'm going to hit the stop button right now.
All right, dude.
Jeff, Jamie, thank you. Boss Power Radio, out.
See ya.
Out.
Bye-bye. Out.